much about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Just tell me, why isn't it lame? Why isn't it lame?
Because we'll do it in a way that won't be lame.
I can't argue with that.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The average person believes that I'm a nut and I deserve whatever happened to me. I never dreamed of living this long. I never dreamed of fornicating with as many beautiful women as I did, of having as much money as I did, and having as beautiful and intelligent kids as I did. So if I was to die tomorrow, I've won. I've won.
Is it still rape if he
is
surprised?
I am so not a raper.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
I'm now. You cannot run around so casually using that word, okay? Rape is for special occasions.
Our feature presentation.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
When's your birthday?
January 5th.
What is that? What are you?
Capricorn.
Capricorn.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they pack it so full of drama on a regular basis.
Hi, we're going to take your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, Wednesday edition, 1-800-520-1067 in just 1 minute. I watch The Hills, and I have allowed myself to enjoy it, even though it's lame, okay? This season, it's so obvious how fake it is.
Oh, it really can't be worse than last season.
It is. It's worse. It's to the point where they're saying things and they're almost cracking up because of how retarded they are, because of how they're pretending to be all mad at each other and stuff. When you know they have a little pre-show meeting that says, all right, Kristen, you're going to go and you're going to make eyes at Justin, and then Audrina's going to get mad. Okay, everybody, let's go places. And then they just can barely pull it off because none of them are very good actors.
Okay, so you ask what the birthday is and then ask them what sign they are.
Yes. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if it's to the point where they're literally feeding them those kinds of lines.
Wouldn't doubt it.
And Spencer and Heidi bought this house in the Hollywood Hills that Heidi hates, of course, and Spencer bought it without even showing it to her first because he's a dick. And then the whole episode last night was about how much he hates kids. So naturally, Heidi does nothing but invite the little, 6-year-old from next door over to play Wii all day just to annoy Spencer. And you know that they're only doing that because, hey, this will make some drama because Spencer can get all pouty about there being a kid in the house, and Heidi can get all mad at him for not wanting to have kids when they've been married for 10 days.
Yeah, listen, I hear you. My answer to that is that I don't watch that show.
No, well, that is the right choice. Clearly, you're making the good decision here. Yeah. But it's infuriating to those of us in the Hills Nation that have been there from the beginning that they treat us with such disrespect. That's what I'm saying. At least pretend it's real.
But we didn't then. At the very beginning, they had disdain for you.
We know it's not real, but at least try to make it believable. You know what it's like, Kevin, when you're...
And now...
Hang on.
Another drama-filled moment... On the hills.
When's your birthday?
January 5th.
What is that? What are you?
Capricorn.
Capricorn.
That was
drama-filled
moment on the hills.
You're right. That is disdain.
You know, it's like when you go to see a science fiction movie and you're willing to accept an outrageous plot,
right.
But it gets to the point sometimes where it's so crazy. You know, now they're landing a spaceship on an asteroid that you just have to go, oh, come on. I'm not that stupid.
I wanted to believe, and I wanted, you know, suspend. What did they say? Suspend disbelief?
Right.
Yeah, and still you're mocked. So, yeah, that's the hills. Well,
anyway.
No way you could have known that.
It's like hitting myself in the face for 30 minutes a week. I'll tell you that.
I hear that. Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, the 7th of October. We don't have the live band in here until Friday, but when we get the live band in here, it's going to...
No fun?
It's going to just tear it up.
I was on thekevinandbean.com this morning because Mike told me there was some video put up, and I was watching a little bit of the Rocktober from last Friday because I was on vacation, so I missed it.
It's the first day of... The month of...
Not yet.
Come on, dude. What are you, rebuilding it from the ground up? Rocktober.
Nice cowbell.
Cowbell. Nice cowbell. Had to add the cowbell.
Got Kevin on cowbell now.
You're going to have to get up and show your belly.
We are a 3-piece band.
All right, now that you've heard it, Kevin, and it's different from being, you know, participant in the band when it was happening live, understand that that's like, that's as entertaining for other people as watching someone eat.
It's no!
Fun for, it's
no!
fun for you guys to be playing in the Rocktober band, but for everybody else, it sucks.
I am going to say that you did not experience it, and listening back to it does not have the magic, and until this Friday, when we will accept your wholehearted apology...
No, but that's my whole point is if you're doing it, if you're in the band, if you're experiencing it, it's probably the biggest high in the world. It's great. It's so much fun. What I'm telling you is for other people, not so much.
I'm saying you are so wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
That if you asked the audience, you did some type of survey or Gallup poll, you would be so wrong.
That's it.
All right. We'll wait till Friday.
Uh-oh, yeah!
100%.
When I bring the theremin out on Friday.
The drummer from Melfon is here and angry. Now you've done it. Now you've started a war. It's on.
He couldn't be more wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Could not be more wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
That kids were, the phone was ringing off the hook during our Rocktober concert.
Begging you to stop?
The business line, Bean. We were answering the business line in there.
Hugely popular.
Here comes the phone off!
Cleo now,
Cleo
upset.
With more, the one who actually has to answer the phone and take the phone calls.
Bean, you are high. I'm sorry. There's no other way to say it. The phones were ringing off the hook all morning. People were just yelling Melfon and hanging up on me.
Yeah. Melfon was a huge hit.
They loved it. The kids loved it.
All right.
That's one of those things, Bean. You're just going to have to go, look, it seems I'm wrong and out of step, and that's just the way it is. It's all right.
It's like saying if Muse comes in here and plays live one morning, hey, it must be fun for Muse to play, but imagine the people listening at home.
Right, but they're competent and play songs that people like. That's very different than just listening to amateurs thrash. Very different.
I would like to say we increased in quality very, very much from the beginning to the end.
Yeah,
I mean, by the end.
Okay.
Leaps and bounds.
I mean, by
so
the
it's going to be virtuoso this Friday, then.
We were ready for the Rose Bowl by the end.
It was it was like She Loves You to Sergeant Pepper. It was like that leap the Beatles made in a few years. We made it in a few hours.
Wow.
One show.
I'm just saying phones were off the hook.
I'm just saying wait until Friday, and then we will accept any criticism that you may have.
Magic of live music on the Kevin Bean Show was spectacular. And I think some people are just a little bitter and a little jealous because they're not a member of Melfon. Maybe that's
probably
the
reason. It.
When I watched the video this morning, I was grateful that I was on vacation last week and missed it. If that's what you're asking, yes.
We are going to have a bass hooked up this Friday.
Oh, all right.
We're going to have a bass because Mark Hoppus is coming in.
Fantastic.
So we don't know if he wants to play with Melfon, but we're just going to offer him the opportunity. I'm sure once he hears that, he's going to be all in. So
he'll be the fifth Melfon. That's what they'll call him because he'll be in and out.
This is Kevin's way of trying to break up Blink 182 again, is getting Mark involved in another side project.
How dare you? All right, let's take some phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, a pair of tickets to Knott's 37th Annual Halloween Haunt on Wednesday, October the 28th. Yes, it is that time of year. Yes, we are receiving your emails. It's still a little bit early for Halloween spooks, but you have been received. Don't worry. We got so many great calls, but let's start with the master. Dewan is on line 4 here this morning on the Kevin Bean Show, calling us bright and early. Hey, Dewan, what's going on?
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Lisa. What you do, nephew?
What's happening, man?
Good. I felt really, really bad and, sad yesterday that nobody don't want to come right now because some of them are busy.
Oh, nobody could come to your 90210 party last night?
So I have to pre-pose it.
You have to postpone it?
But it's not going to be a party. It's going to be, a little hangout, next week.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. Mike, what happened? Do you know?
Well, Dewan and I had a little discussion last night about how to properly plan a get-together or a party and so that this doesn't happen in the future. And
what happened?
I just think Dewan has a little bit of misunderstanding at first on how much time you're supposed to give in advance notice, letting people know if you really want them to come over.
Right.
And how if you're going to throw a party or a get-together, a lot of the responsibility for having the stuff there, it really falls on you,
right,
not the guests.
Okay, so it's a kind of a planning snap.
Right, and we just kind of went through what it takes to get it to go successfully. And I think I'm really optimistic that it's going to go well next Tuesday. Right, Dewan?
Yes.
Yeah. See?
Well, I got to tell you, Dewan's the best because we had Sinead Grimes on yesterday from 90210. And we gave Dewan the opportunity to call and talk to her. And he said he didn't want to interrupt the flow of the interview. So he just listened. That's really cool.
That's selfless is what that is, right. Is to put his personal desires aside for the greater good. But there's some talk that we're having some other 90210 stars. I think your girlfriend Jessica is coming in next week, maybe, Duan. So if you want to rethink your policy, maybe you can talk to her.
Sure. What day it will be next week?
Tuesday? I don't remember.
We're not sure exactly yet, but we'll let you know. Okay, Duan?
All right.
All right. You're the best.
All right, buddy.
Let us
Thank
know
you.
When things get rescheduled.
Welcome.
All right. Bye. Let's go to Justin. Hi, Justin.
What it do?
What it do?
Man, I can't come in as hot as Duan just did on that entrance. But Bean,
yes,
how
sir.
Old are you?
I'm too old to be watching The Hills, if that's your point.
That's ridiculous. Dude, that's got pedophile written all over
that's
it.
That's my fear.
No, everyone on that show is of age. But I will tell you, it's a horrible, horrible show. And I am not pleased with myself every week. I'll tell you that.
I hate to even bring it up.
And now, another drama-filled moment on The Hills.
When's your birthday?
January 5th.
What is that? What are you?
Capricorn.
Capricorn.
That was a drama-filled moment on The Hills.
Are you a pedophile?
Oh! I'm just saying. Maybe,
I'm just saying that
maybe
Justin...
someone should watch out for it, for being.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
Chris Hansen to the rescue.
Thanks for the call.
All right, we have a ton of calls, but we're running late already.
I know. We spent too much time talking about the band.
Yeah.
Let's just squeeze in David real quick on line one, because this sounds like there's some urgency to it, and then we'll take a break.
Hey, David.
Hey, what it do? Thank you for taking my call.
What
but yeah,
do?
This is like it is urgent. I just have some quick questions. I've run out of my excuses or ideas on how to convince my wife to finally bring another woman into the bedroom. She's right. On the verge, but I've had nothing else to tell her. She's like, I don't know. So like that tells me she's thinking about it, but I just don't know what else to tell her.
Yeah.
And I just want to know if you guys can tell me.
First of all, the obvious question I got to ask is why does she get a vote?
Huh? Well, because, I don't want to just go up with a girl at the house and then she throws a frying pan in my face.
Because he's interested in her liking him, Bean.
Oh, all right. First of all, you yell surprise. That's the first rule. And then you're set. Look, here's the thing, and we've talked about this from time to time. If she wants to do it, she'll do it. I mean, you can put it out there, but it's kind of up to her to push the go button,
All right. So you just want me to just ask her and then just wait?
And where is that go button? Where is the go button that she's going to push?
Well, it's just an expression. I mean, she at some point is going to decide she wants to do it or not. I mean, you know, it's a fine line between bringing it up, suggesting it, putting the ball in her court, and being creepy and pushing too hard and making her turn against the idea. I understand that you're in a tough spot right now. You're walking that delicate line, but she'll let you know as long as you present an attractive offer for her.
I got to tell you, it made it sound like at the beginning of this phone conversation that you had already probably stepped over the line just a tiny bit.
Well, not really, because we talked about it before.
Okay.
And she said she would do it, like we were going out, but now she's just, now we brought it up again, and it's an idea that's still floating out there that has a possibility.
Yeah.
Have you done this? Have you said to her, hey, listen, I'm, still up for it. If you find a girl you like, let's talk about it. Let's try to hook it up. Maybe, maybe that's the key is to let her pick the girl.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, we tried that one time. We were actually going to pick some waitress from Chili's one time.
Yeah? Okay. But that didn't happen?
They didn't happen.
Yeah.
All right, dude. It sounds like you're on the right path. You just got to be patient, okay?
All right, cool. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, then. Thanks for the call. I bet Rapey would be up for it.
It's worth the wait. We're not. We've changed her name. I don't think that name necessarily represents what we want to call her.
It seems to have been very successful for her so far. I'll tell you that
she seems to like it. Oddly enough, I don't think I understand that. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? Dana White from the UFC.
There it is
in our studios. Very excited about that. We'll take your calls too with questions. He's controversial and outspoken. And I love the UFC, and it's coming to Los Angeles later this month, so very excited about that. We have Olivia Munn in the studio today. We have Lewis Black on the program today, talking about his new stand-up movie, Stark Raving Black. We have tickets for you to see Star Wars in concert. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
That's a weird item.
It is. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it's actually an orchestra that plays Star Wars music. And then, Jar Jar Binks or somebody gets up and tells the story.
I think it's 3PO, isn't it?
No, which, yeah, fine. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying I don't know. But, and also the Reverend Speaker Gerald Polly will tell us all about zombies and how they are real and they are walking amongst us and you should be a little worried about them.
Well, he would know.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
I'd like to bring you good news first thing in the morning.
Good.
Excellent. So here it is. HBO has announced they've already renewed Bored to Death for a second season.
Yeah! Wow, how about that?
I don't know if you're watching Bored to Death with Jason Schwartzman and Ted Danson over there on HBO, but I really like it. It's very entertaining. It's funny in sort of a quiet, interesting way. It's not a laugh-out-loud, curb-your-enthusiasm, yucks kind of funny, but it's a pleasant half hour to spend with those people. It's an enjoyable little story, and he's real charming, and Zach Galifianakis is great, and Ted Danson is terrific, and it's a very nice show, and I'm glad to see that... people are watching. So, there you go. Bored to Death fans, congratulations.
Already.
More good news? Finally, a remake of National Lampoon's Vacation. Oh, wait a minute. That's not good news at all. You may remember the original with Chevy Chase as Clark Griswold. The classic.
That was one of my favorites.
Comic film.
It was a supermodel that was driving
Christy Brinkley.
Christy Brinkley.
He encounters her on the road, and she invites him in for a little midnight skinny dip. Remember that?
Oh, sure.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's cold, cold, it's cold. That's when Chevy was really in his prime.
Didn't that also involve them tying a dead grandma onto their car?
Was that? Yes.
It did?
Yes. Okay. She dies on the trip.
So they tie her onto the top of the car.
As luggage. Yeah.
All right.
Then they made a few sequels.
Who's remaking
Christmas
it?
Was good. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation was pretty strong.
European was dirt. It was bad.
It was weak.
Crazy.
But Wally World, that was the first one. That was good. Anyway, it's going to be sort of a sequel, I guess, of sorts, as opposed to a remake. The story will focus on Rusty Griswold, son of Clark, who has his own family now and decides to take his family on a vacation just like his dad used to do. So you may see Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo make a cameo as grandparents.
Right.
How about Crazy Randy Quaid?
Yeah, he should be in there, too. So, I don't know how I feel about this, but maybe. Maybe. Here's the thing, though. If I'm Michael Anthony Hall and I don't get the nod to play Rusty, I'm going to be way cheesed off.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Because he was the original Rusty. And then
they changed the girl?
They changed them all.
They changed them all. Okay.
Yeah. The Ethan Embry. Is that his name from That Thing You Do?
Don't know.
I think so, yeah.
He played Rusty in the Vegas one.
Oh, I like Vegas, too.
Vegas Vacation's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Papadakis. Good to see you again. I'm Nick Papadakis.
Papa Giorgio.
Oh, Papa Giorgio. That's it, yeah. Thinking of our friend P.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Remember Chevy Chase at the blackjack table with that dealer?
Why don't I just take your money, take you into the back alley, and just kick you in the balls?
Little bald guy? Those are good.
Wallace Shawn, I believe his name is, that actor. So, there you go.
Lindsay Lohan's dad's back in the news.
Michael is talking about his daughter to the press in public again. She's got to love that, right?
Wow, is he bad.
He's horrible on every level.
Yep.
But most importantly, as a father. He tells RadarOnline.com, the entertainment news website, that his daughter is a very different young lady these days. Certainly not the bouncy little girl he raised.
Right.
Sometimes she still bounces, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
No.
If there's a guy laying down on the bed, then she's bouncy. You know what I'm saying?
No.
His theory is that she has a serious addiction to prescription drugs.
Really? That's his theory?
That's his theory.
Wow.
And he says, I am vowing to get her off pills. Well, good thing he's got a mission in life.
I don't know how he's going to do that. Does he even know her?
I don't think so. I don't think they even have each other's phone numbers anymore. But look, if Michael's not getting some attention, you will hear Lindsay news.
Yeah, that's true.
After a couple of weeks go by.
That's true.
So that's the latest. Things are tough all over, even for Leonardo DiCaprio when it comes to the sagging economy. Apparently Tag Heuer, the high-end watch company, is going to be dumping Leo as a spokesman and hiring Angelina Jolie.
Well, that's a much better choice.
They think they can get more bang for their buck, publicity-wise, if she is in their ads wearing their watches versus Leo.
Yeah. I think he'll be all right.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's hurting.
Probably doing okay.
That Titanic money's just about run out, I think.
I don't know much about those high-end watches, but a brand like Tag Heuer, don't they mostly sell to guys? Is it mostly men's watches? Because no, you think that...
I think they have a pretty strong female line, too. Female line. Maria Sharapova has been
their female
the campaign lady for the female line for a long time.
So, not my price range.
No tags.
Yeah. But what are you going to do?
I sort of have a boner.
I don't get it. Some of those watches that people pay, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for.
Yeah, you know who loves those is boy Lightning.
Lightning, yeah.
Lightning
yeah,
loves does. The high-end watches. Yeah.
Yep.
To which I often had this argument with him about the purpose. I don't mind spending extra money for good stuff.
Right.
I mean, if you buy a $5,000 car versus a $50,000 car, there's a significant leap in quality there between the two vehicles.
You can see the difference.
You're getting your Hyundai. Nothing wrong with a Hyundai, by the way, if that's what your price range is. But you're moving up to like a Lexus or something. There's a significant leap in quality.
Right.
The purpose of a watch is to tell time, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Ralph, don't you know anything?
So if I got a Fossil on my arm versus a Tag, and the difference is $25,000, but they both keep time.
It's not about time, dude. It's about fashion statement.
Yeah, but of all fashion statements, that seems like functionality really is the primary reason you have a watch,
right? But you're right. But also, if you're wearing Dolce & Gabbana suits every day to work, you kind of need a watch that goes along with that.
Yeah.
But if you dress like utter crap like Lightning does, like I don't understand. Like maybe take the $10,000 you spend on your watch and get some respectable clothing.
Right. Buy some long pants.
Yeah, right. Stop wearing the Dickies. Today's celebrity birthdays, Taylor Hicks, your American Idol.
Not mine. Don't point at me.
33 years old today.
I don't know that he even has a record label anymore.
I know he has a harmonica. He's rocking that still. Tom York of Radiohead celebrates his 41st birthday. Remember that time Bean punched him?
I do.
And they couldn't perform?
Day of the show, that was
rough.
Cracking
in the jaw.
Took him to the hospital.
Never seen Bean so angry.
I know.
Or so physical.
He kept looking at me with that one eye, you know? It just was creeping me out. I couldn't help myself.
Singer Toni Braxton's 42. American Idol judge Simon Cowell celebrates his 50th birthday. John Mellencamp, longtime singer-songwriter, is 58 years old today. And The View co-host Joy Behar, who now has her own show.
What?
So you get to see more Joy Behar. That's what America needs.
Are they splitting up The View and giving them each a show?
I think so. I think she's on CNN or MSNBC or one of those cable outlets. She's got her own talk
show. It's so easy for me to miss those. I've never been less interested in a show than that.
Yeah, she's uniquely bad in what she does. She is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for Wednesday. Our friend, funny man Louis Black, later in the hour. Guess who's going to be here in less than an hour, by the way, is the beautiful Olivia Munn. How about that?
All right.
As a man, I was attracted to her in her demeanor. I was attracted to her in a sexual manner that was appropriate.
Right. All right, let's turn our attention to the great state of California, which, as I understand it, is the brokest state in the nation, right?
I mean, yeah.
Couldn't be more in debt than they are right now.
State has the fourth highest unemployment rate at 12.2, the third highest rate of mortgage foreclosures. For 2 years, has had the biggest budget deficit in the history of the United States. And now, I have a friend who got a tax rebate check from the state of California. A refund, yeah. Took it to Chase Bank, and they would not cash it. So my friend said...
Because they thought there was no money behind it?
Correct.
They thought it was just paper?
They didn't think they would get paid.
Oh, my God.
Remember at the beginning, they were handing out IOUs. And they weren't even out checks. Well, now that they're giving out checks, the bank still... And by the way, then my friend said, all right, I don't want to cash it. Let me just deposit it, which is usually what they do with checks that are questionable. They keep them for 3 days or whatever, and then they can make sure they get the funds. No. Can't deposit it. Chase says no to depositing.
Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
Well, next to being President Obama, the second worst job in America is being the governor of the great state of California. And that's the job that Arnold Schwarzenegger has. And he joins us once again on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Governor.
Kevin Bean, how are you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm hot.
You're hot, right?
Hot in here.
Oh, because you're at the gym.
Yeah, I'm at the gym working out.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I'm looking incredibly pumped.
I'm sure you are.
I'm sure you look good. Pumping. Yeah. For me, pumping is like being with a woman.
Right.
That's what I understand. Yeah. Hey, Governor, don't you wake up on days like today when you hear the bad news that Kevin just described and you go, why did I lobby so hard to get this job?
Let me tell you something. being the governor of California is not as much fun as being on the set of The Predator.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
No, I bet it was better.
Yeah.
Because I would, like, sit in a chair and girls would massage me.
Right.
And they'd bring the craft services table over and I'd have, like, a Tootsie Roll or something.
Right.
That was better than this job is.
Now, when you originally ran for the governor, did you think it would be that way? You couldn't have.
I thought it would be fun.
Yes.
I thought it would be even more better.
Okay.
I thought there'd be, you know, even more massages.
Sure.
And get away from the wife more, you know.
Sure,
well, that's the other thing, is your old job, you know, you'd fly to Europe and make a movie for 4 months, and now you're pretty much sitting in Sacramento with the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, she always knows where to find me.
Oh, that's rough.
That giant jaw of hers is like a compass. It always points north.
Now,
and north is always me.
Yeah, unfortunately. Now, Arnold, what about this story that Chase is refusing to cash your checks?
That's ridiculous. The California checks are the great checks. They're beautiful. They have the seal of California on it.
Right.
And they're made from the highest grade paper.
Right, but if
and excellent ink is used.
Sure.
They're beautiful checks. They should accept them.
But if they're, I don't think that's what they base accepting a check on or not, whether it's, you know, printed with nice ink. I think they're concerned that they're not going to get the money.
Well, it's true. We have no money.
Right.
To back up the checks. So,
well, that's the problem. That's understandable that a bank would not want to risk itself on cashing a check that's bad.
So I think it's time that California moved to the barter system.
The barter system?
Yeah, well, California produces so many excellent goods and products and services that if you bring me your refund check, I will exchange it for something for you, so you get something out of it.
Okay, so not cash, but something else.
Right, you get something that California has plenty of.
Okay, like what?
Like oranges. Bring me your check. I'll give you a bag of oranges.
Okay, but if I have a refund check for $150, I don't want $150 worth of oranges.
Well, we can't give you that many oranges. We can give you, like, one bag.
Oh. No matter how big the check is?
Yeah. And we already got, a distribution system on freeway off-ramps all over the all over the state.
Yeah, that's not you. That has nothing to do with the state.
No, go by. Just grab a bag and then hit the gas.
Okay.
Tell them I sent you.
Okay.
Okay.
And we have other things here we can give you for your check.
Like what?
Sand. We got a lot of beaches.
Sand.
Yeah, so we'll give you some sand.
Well, I think the problem there, Arnold, is that you can't pay your rent with sand.
All right, how about we give you some wildfire? We got plenty of that. Bring your check, I'll give you a wildfire.
Well, nobody wants a wildfire. That's
what if
that's
you're
a bad...
cold? Then it'd be coming in handy, wouldn't it?
Well, sure.
Oh, there's a chill. Should I close the window? No, just here's some wildfire. Now you're warm again.
That doesn't seem good.
Ah, it's hot. Or come to my house, I'll give you steroids. I have plenty of those.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. HGH, steroids.
Right.
Lots of that in my duffel bag.
Uh-huh.
In my trunk.
And you'll inject them into...
your ass.
Right.
Okay. All right. Now we're talking.
Well, you got it?
It's not the same as cashing a check, but I guess it's better than nothing.
What do you want from me? I'm trying to do something here.
Right. Well, I was just hoping that you would have a plan so that the banks would start taking the checks. That's all.
A plan.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah, sorry. It's KROQ, and it's 22 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, minutes away from our friend Lewis Black, one of the funniest guys in the world. And how has he not died of an aneurysm yet? That's my question.
Good question.
I, as you know, Kevin, well, you and I are both fans of the Paulies, voicesfromspirit.com, Gerald and Linda Pauly. We love them, have been having them on the show for years. And I think part of the reason I'm so interested in Mr. Pauly is that I have become Mr. Pauly. I'm turning into Gerald Pauly.
Yeah.
You can go to kevinandbean.com and you can check out the picture that Dave took of us in the studio in New York because I got my haircut there. And we're practically twins at this point, Gerald and me.
That's correct.
Check it out on the website. We are practically twins. If I get about another 10 years older and by then about another 30 pounds heavier, I will be Gerald Pauly. So I guess I'm looking at my future every time we make the call out there to North Dakota.
Your future is stealing Linda away from Gerald. That's your future.
Well, in my dreams. Hey, the Paulies, how are you guys? Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Always glad to be on your show.
Now, guys, how do you explain what you do to people who haven't heard you before? Occasionally, we'll have new listeners, and they'll say, who are these people, and what do they do? Explain that.
Well, I channel messages from the afterlife. Right now, I'm working exclusively with God most of the time.
Okay.
And
so you speak on a daily...
Tell people what's going on.
On a daily basis, you speak with God, and then you put out the word that he once put out.
Right.
Okay.
And God is very aware of what's going on in the world here today. It's not like he created us and then turned a blind eye. I mean, he's got opinions on everything that's happening in the news. Right, Gerald?
Just about.
And it's okay. Also not just God. It's also, you know, they talk to Michael Jackson. Anyone that's in heaven, they get songs written by John Lennon that Linda sings. I mean, it's a full service outfit you guys are running.
Oh, yeah.
But, I'm sorry, Linda, you never know what
we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Well, that is true. And, Linda, your job every day is just to type as fast as Gerald talks or risk being beaten, right?
Well, not the last part.
No.
But I do have to type pretty fast.
So you have to keep notes of what's being said because Gerald is channeling the afterlife. I see. Now, I got one of your emails, and I got to be honest, I got through the first 17 pages, and then I had to stop because I was only near the beginning. And so I'd like to ask you again.
We're trying to get God to be shorter.
Yeah, God has that problem. But you got to make him shorter, dude. Who's got time?
Oh, we're trying.
It's like a novel. I don't have time.
He's got a lot of information to impart to the world.
All right. The part that caught my eye was zombies. Because of Zombieland, the number one movie, and the fact that everybody's obsessed with them again, you say zombies are real, and we should be aware that they are walking amongst us.
Unfortunately, there are some things I wish I didn't know anything about, but almost every legend has some reality and truth, and
right.
Zombies are based on two things. One, people that have been so evil that have destroyed their souls and their bodies and become the walking dead.
Okay, so wait. So in that particular instance, their soul is either dead or gone, so now just the body and the mind walk around, and without a soul, they're zombies.
They're zombies.
Okay.
They're the living dead.
All right.
And the other is demon possession, when a demon takes over a body after somebody has died. And sometimes, in rare occasions, they can keep that body going for as much as 20 years.
Wow. Okay. Now, how many zombies would you say are, I don't know, in the United States per capita? How many are there out there?
Oh, it's hard to say at any given time. Probably as many in the whole United States, maybe 2,000.
That's not too bad.
And
no, but they can create a lot of havoc.
Yeah, they can.
Can you tell a zombie by looking at it, Gerald?
No. Well, sometimes on rare occasions, but usually I smell them.
You smell them?
Right.
What does a zombie smell like? Because we're trying to figure out, you know, we want to keep our eyes open, and if we come across a zombie, we want to know what to look or sniff for.
Well, if you're walking down the street and somebody passes you and they smell like death, like something that's been dead for 2 or 3 weeks, there's a very high possibility that they're a zombie.
They're a zombie. Okay.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, are there any celebrities that you think might be zombies?
Not right now that I know of. There was one that passed away recently, but we won't go into that.
Was that Michael Jackson?
No, definitely not.
No,
he was on our side. We were supposed to get together shortly. Unfortunately, we didn't make it.
Gerald Pauly and Michael Jackson were supposed to work together.
Right.
So, yeah. So, how do you get away from zombies? Because we've had this big conversation where people have their escape plans, and some of them are going to a park, and some of them are heading for the hills.
Well, actually, it's pretty hard to get away from them. If you have one really after you, the best thing to do is dispose of it.
And how do you do that exactly?
Behead it. Shoot it in the head.
Okay.
You have to destroy the brain. You can virtually chop the body to pieces. As long as the brain is intact, they can regenerate.
Wow,
oh,
that's rough.
See. You know, it's interesting because back in the old days of the sci-fi movies, the zombies always used to walk really, really slow. But in recent years, man, zombies are fast. I mean, they're getting tougher and tougher to get away from.
Right. Well, unfortunately, most of them are very mobile. There are, when they get to the end of their existence, they do tend to be slow and cumbersome. But
right.
While they're active, while they have good control of their bodies, they can be just as vital as anybody else.
Well, that's not what we want to hear. We want to hear they're slow and we can outrun them. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Linda, do you think there's any chance that your husband Gerald might be a zombie?
No way.
How's he smell?
Excuse me?
I said, how's he smell? Have you checked? Have you taken the sniff test?
No, he's all right.
He's okay.
He's okay. This is Bean speaking, kids, and I'm very serious about trying to come visit you guys sometime in the next few months.
Oh, we'd enjoy that.
Would that be okay? I mean, would you mind? Would you welcome me into your home?
Oh, certainly.
Definitely.
So, and then would Bean be allowed to sit in on some of these sessions when you're channeling, you know, God or Kurt Cobain? Or
God would really enjoy it.
God would enjoy it.
I think he would, you know, if we got the opportunity, I think he'd really enjoy him seeing how we work.
Yeah,
I would love it. And and maybe, Linda, you and I could, you know, go out on a little date or something while Gerald's at work.
I don't know about that.
Not so much.
Oh, I think he would be all right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, I got approval. That's fair. We go to the movies or something, have some popcorn, you know what I mean?
Unfortunately, I can't have much popcorn anymore with my low-sodium diet.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's too bad. All right. Well, listen, so you got the flag going up that the zombies are out there, that we should be aware, and there's so much more going on in Polly World. I mean, every day, Kevin's not lying, every day we get a new book from Mr. and Mrs. Polly. It sometimes has to do with Queen Elizabeth, sometimes has to do with Michael Jackson. You've been trying to get Mrs. Letterman to move to North Dakota. I mean, you've got a lot of stuff going on out there.
Only but a short visit.
Give people the website if they want more information on how it works out there. Do that to Linda.
What?
I apologize for Kevin. Please try again, Linda.
www.voiceover.com.
Too wrong.
Just put Gerald Polly in any search engine and you'll probably get more than you bargained for.
Yeah, that's probably
there you
true.
Go. There you go. All right, the Pollys, always great to catch up with you. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Well, how about making some time for America's foremost commentator on everything? He is the Grammy-winning comedian who, of course, you've seen on The Daily Show, and he has his first major motion picture stand-up special, which is in the theaters and not on the TV. It's called Stark Raving Black. Please welcome back to the program our friend Louis Black on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lou, how are you, man?
Louis.
How's it going?
It's going well.
There he is. What's going on, Lou? How are you feeling today?
It's just we're moving toward perfection, aren't we?
Well,
we're just moments away from the greatest healthcare system ever. Afghanistan is really working out.
Yeah,
it's spectacular.
They're thinking. A lot of people are thinking they're going to wrap up Afghanistan by the end of this week, which is great.
Think so.
Yeah,
I think Walmart goes in Thursday.
Well, Lou, I'm just glad that you live long enough to see all of America's problems be solved within your lifetime. At least now when you put your head on the pillow for the final time, you could think, I saw perfection before I died.
I did. I said, well, you know, actually, I said that everything that I've been for in my life, everything, none of it has come to pass. Not even close. As a right. matter of fact, that should have been my job. People could call and say to you, you know, will this happen? And whatever side I'm on is the wrong side.
The answer is always no. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
I do know it'll happen, though, the day after I die.
And sure. Yeah, that's ironic.
When I'm serious. People should be. If the day I die, the next day I tell you will be. There'll be rainbows everywhere.
Now, Louis Black is one of our favorite comedians. This is a little bit. It's a little bit different, though, that you're releasing the stand-up into theaters.
Well, I did it because. Comedy Central wanted to do the special, and I said, well, I can't do the special. The special has to be shown without bleeps, I said. You know, I've done the two for HBO. It makes no sense to put it out there with bleeps. I
right.
don't believe in it. It's absurd. I don't think I have, you know, 13-year-old kids coming to my show. They're not, you know, they're not going home after the show and going, boy, I can't wait to get a razor blade and cut myself.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
The, and HBO was waiting and wanted me to wait another year to put a special on. I was like, that's it. I'm done, and I'll just
okay.
do it.
So the way to get Comedy Central to pay for it, and the way to satisfy you artistically, was to make it in theaters rather than on television. That makes
yeah.
a lot of sense.
That was the way to go for it. And then actually, in the midst of all this, there's a new station called, or channel, or whatever they call it, network called Epix.
Okay.
Like there's HBO and Showtime and Epix and Stars, and Epix is I keep saying, and they're so technologically advanced that they'll be downloading their stuff into you, directly into your head.
Into your head, okay. And is this going to be on that?
And it'll be on Epix in like December.
Okay.
If
okay.
you can find Epix.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
That'll be the thing. I do these. I keep going. It'll be really great if you can find them.
I've never heard of Epix, and I watch a lot of TV. But
yeah, Kevin knows every DirecTV channel.
Just my film is their
Saturday.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Oh, okay. Well, here's my concern, Lou, and I mean this with all due love and respect. Do we need to see you in high def? I'm a little bit concerned about that. It might be frightening for the kids.
It is, and what's good, though, for the adults is to realize that your stomach is smaller than mine.
Right.
My stomach in the high def is the size of Wisconsin.
So they shot your stand-up special with high definition with 10 cameras.
Yeah.
It was like you're U2 or something.
I'm U4. Yeah. U2 to the second power.
I think I would I'd tell the director, let's use the long shot a lot.
It actually, I'll tell you, what's wild is technologically, because of the amount of cameras and everything, I will say unequivocally that just because of the technology, there's an immediacy to this concert film that hasn't been seen. I think that the guys who worked on this really kind of knew what they were doing, really thought it out. I don't think there's been... I think it'll change the way that stand-up is shot.
Interesting.
I will have nothing to do with this except I will be a footnote to history.
Right. But what I love about it is the turnaround. I mean, this is stuff that you shot this summer, right? I mean, this is from 2009, so this is current material.
Yeah, we shot it in August, the end of August.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And we got it out, and probably could have gotten it out faster, I think, but there were some little hang-ups here and there, but it was but I think people can go to see this even if they don't like me. And go.
You think it'd be worth it anyway?
So extraordinary that they'll go, you know, I really didn't like him, but boy, it was fun to sit there and look at the technology.
Now, turning it around that quick, I mean, you can't have a lot of CGI in the movie,
no.
Right? Not a lot of explosions, not a lot of special effects.
No.
Huh.
Not sadly.
That's what I go for.
I know, sadly. Yeah. Well, I do implode.
Okay, all right. That's good.
The film is called Stark Raving Black. This is our friend Lewis Black on the phone. By the way, that's also the website if you want to check out when the movie is coming to your city, starkravingblack.com. In Southern California, it's opening. It looks like Thursday is when they say it's opening at the Man Chinese Six.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Wow, how about that? A rare Thursday release, and also out in Riverside at University Village 10. Yeah, you don't see a lot of Thursdays. Hey, Lou, real quick before you go, I wanted to ask you because you are America's foremost commentator on everything, and I heard you railing on the media coverage of David Letterman on the Today Show or something this week. I can't remember where I saw you. But I never heard what your take was on Roman Polanski because I've been really fascinated to see how many people in Hollywood have been willing to stand up for a child rapist and support him, and I'm wondering where you come down on it.
All I know is it really is a testament to the LAPD that it only took them 40 years to get the guy.
Yeah, they did put a rush on it.
You know, I mean, it's like, that's what amazes me. Now, you grabbed him, you know, apparently he was going back and forth to Switzerland. None of it makes sense.
I mean, he had a house in Switzerland. He mostly lives in France, but apparently he also had a place in Switzerland, and he spent a lot of time there.
And I that's the thing that I find incomprehensible.
Do you think they
couldn't get him? I mean, you know, he was, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
You couldn't grab him?
I know. I mean, it is crazy, but now that it's at this point, do you think they should bring him back, and do you think they will bring him back to go to jail?
I think they'll cut some sort of a deal or something, you know.
Sure.
The girl is now, what, 65?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
And she doesn't want him prosecuted at all, and it has turned out that she got paid off, too. I mean, part of the reason that she's willing to let this go is that he wrote her a big fat check a few years ago.
He wrote her $500,000. I wish he'd approached me.
Yeah, no kidding.
What
year did this happen? I don't even remember.
It was, wasn't it in the early 70s, Lewis?
70s?
Yeah.
Early 70s, yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, it has been, I mean, it's just been so weird to me to see the people standing up and saying, you know, hey, let bygones be bygones when you're talking about rape and a guy who never, you know, he only served the time in jail up until the sentencing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's extraordinary. I mean, it's just, you know, you can say, well, you know, he's a gifted artist and everything, but let's get a grip.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
enough, and he certainly had a weird life. That's for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. He certainly has.
But
well,
I don't. You still have to. You know. It's called tough. It's called tough. You know
exactly.
Then let's forget why. You know why have the laws, you idiots.
Right. Well, I don't feel like I can wrap my head around a subject until I hear what Lewis Black has to say on it, and that's why I wanted to ask. The movie is called Stark Raving Black. It looks like some of the best stand-up you've ever done, and it is going to be opening up everywhere tomorrow in high def. Go see it, Lou. Have a great time out there in New York, and we'll see you soon, my friend.
Well, I'm going to spend the rest of the day in a Roman Polanski quandary.
Yeah, wow. Way to go, Bean. Thank you,
sorry, dude. Olivia Munn, next hour, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
This may come as a surprise to you, but Kevin Federline is not clean.
Not clean?
Not a clean fellow. Not tidy.
That is a surprise, because I would have summed him up as super clean.
He looks
organized.
He looks like a guy sharp. Who really knows how to take care of his things.
Really sharp.
TMZ.com's got a story this morning. Very entertaining. About Kevin Federline. Who pretty much trashed the Tarzana, California home he was living in until this past May. The people who own the house say K-Fed suddenly disappeared without paying his last 6 months in rent.
Wow.
And when they came back to the rental, they found Fed had turned their home, into a, in their words, cigarette-riddled, spit-stained dump.
Ugh.
F*** that. That's what I gotta say.
Ugh.
Yeah, they are demanding $110,000 in unpaid rent and damages, which includes, let me give you a little of the list, shall we? Rain gutters full of cigarette butts and empty beer bottles.
Rain gutters?
What are you doing, drinking up on the roof?
How'd they get up there?
A broken beer dispenser on the barbecue island. Permanent spit marks on exterior paint.
Spit marks?
He's hocking loogies and spitting them at the wall.
I wonder if he's chewing tobacco, too. That seems like his speed.
Broken light covers, bent light posts, broken tiles, dead trees and plants due to failure to water. Drawings all over the walls.
What drawings is he, on the walls?
Maybe that's the kids.
A room that is turned into a studio without the owner's permission. Well, he's got to drop his mad beat somewhere.
Sure. There is that.
He's got to work with Dark Gable, Black the Ripper. A broken dishwasher, dismantled smoke detectors, front driveway oil leak damage. Master bathroom windows tinted without owner's permission.
His whole windows tinted.
Because you don't want anyone seeing what you're doing with the ladies in the master
That's the bedroom. Best.
And apparently K-Fed made off without returning the garage door opener as well. That just seals
it.
Now I'm suing.
That is just unbelievable. So K-Fed's got some splaining to do when it
Can
comes
you imagine?
To him.
Making the decision to rent your home to Kevin Federline?
No, that's kind of on you. Don't you think?
Yeah, maybe you should look into who you're renting to just a little bit more.
F*** that. That's what I got to say.
Oh, come on.
Plus, the foundation must be cracked.
Because of his enormous weight.
Enormous weight.
Reality show update. Last night on Dancing with the Stars, two of the dancers were given the heave-ho. Sadly, Tom DeLay had to leave the show because he has stress fractures in both feet.
Jesus. That's odd.
What's where his bones made out of? Chalk?
Right.
You're just dancing. He's soft. Yeah, he was furious, actually, that he had to leave. He had to take his doctor's recommendation because he really wanted to dance next week because it's the Texas two-step. And that would be in honor of his home state, of course.
Yeah.
And Debbie Mazar was also voted off last night. She was at the bottom of the vote-getters for the dancing competition. So there you go.
Ralph, don't feel like you have to cover that.
Listen, my brother, it is one of the top rated shows in the world.
Right. But
it's
I'm saying
news. It's news, man.
I don't want you to feel compelled to do something that, against your will.
More Dancing with the Stars news.
Okay.
Kelly Osbourne has burned her armpits.
What?
What?
Apparently, she was using a popular deodorant body spray called Impulse.
Right.
And something reacted with her skin, and she has chemical burns in her armpits now.
Oh, God.
Meaning they had to change her costuming for the dancing because it was so painful. She couldn't dance. Her skin was so badly burned. Some people are speculating that someone swapped out her body spray with holy water. So she got horribly burned. You see, Mike, because holy water burns vampires and other monsters. That's true.
I think you should check your facts.
And I got sad news for me.
Sad news for you.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not looking forward to hearing this story from me because it'll make me sad.
All right.
But here go. All right. I'll try not to listen as I tell the story. Looks like Jennifer Morrison is leaving house.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The delicious Cameron is leaving house.
Wow, that is rough for you.
Us Weekly reports the rumor that is out there, but her representative won't confirm it. However, Lisa Edelstein, who plays Cuddy on the show, has commented in the press that Jennifer will be leaving, and she's sad to see her go.
Didn't you kind of get the sense that with this week's House episode that they were setting up a way to jettison the happy married couple who are no longer kind of officially part of the team?
I didn't really get that sense, no. Because it seems like they just got the original three back on the team.
Right.
13 is gone, and Taub is gone. And House is back. So you got Cameron and Aussie Boy and, the coach of the Steelers.
Sure.
So they're all back. So I figured they were just going to carry on business as usual, but looks like J-Mo's going to be heading out. So
she's J-Mo. So hot.
She is way hot.
He called her J-Mo.
She's delicious. Jennifer Morrison.
Yeah.
She's J-Mo.
Yeah.
Come on, Kevin, get with it.
Yeah.
All the kids are saying it.
Yes, they are.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Taylor Hicks from American Idol fame. Well, from American Idol. He's 33 years old today. Tom York of Radiohead is 41. Toni Braxton.
Oh.
She's delicious.
She is.
She's a good-looking broad. 42 years old today. John Mellencamp, i.e. John Cougar, i.e. John Cougar Mellencamp.
All of the above?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. They're all 58 years old today. Joy Behar from The View is 67 years old. And Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell of American Idol fame, also the producer of America's Got Talent. He is 50 years old.
Boobs.
Oh, come on.
That's
true. Simon.
Yeah.
Going to come down on the cowl like that. Well, psycho.
He doesn't have to
call
wear,
him psycho.
He doesn't have to wear the shirts quite as tight as he does.
He could,
show
he
off
could
the
buy
rack.
A large T-shirt.
Yes.
He could buy that.
Yes.
I heard he spent over $1 million for his birthday party
That's
the other day.
That's what I heard, too.
Party. Crazy,
he had strippers of both flavors, by the way, for the men and the women.
Yeah.
So everybody was entertained at the bash.
All right.
Apparently Kate Moss's boyfriend walked out in a huff because one of the male strippers was dancing with Kate.
Wow.
And so he was furious and walked out in a huff. You don't want that.
Like she knows what's going on.
I wonder if the Hoff walked out in a huff. I wonder if he was there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Smashing Pumpkins on the way. Also some Paramore. We got Foo Fighters. And coming up next hour, Dana White from the UFC is going to be here.
She's hot.
That's a guy.
What?
Yeah.
What's with Kevin watching all the documentaries lately? What's gotten into our boy?
Crazy people.
Yeah, it's not about documentaries because Kevin is not a fan of the genre. It's the crazier people are, the worse people are, Kevin loves them the most.
Remember I Married the Eiffel Tower? Remember that? Here's a little, little clip from that.
A year ago at a private ceremony, she married the Eiffel Tower. Public displays of affection are often a problem.
I think we're being watched.
Yeah, because you're humping the Eiffel Tower. That's why you're being watched.
She was saying to the Eiffel Tower, I think we're being watched.
You're grinding yourself on a girder.
The BBC does the best documentaries.
They do. I think the Brits love crazy as much as you.
And this one's called My Monkey Baby.
Okay.
Now, Ralph, how did you come across this yesterday?
Because there was a story about Born for USA, which is an animal rights activist group.
Oh, right.
Who are furious with TLC, the Learning Channel, for airing this British documentary and encouraging people to own monkeys as children.
Well, they didn't do that as much as put warnings up all the time throughout the entire special that these are wild animals, do not do this. They said that a lot, but then they didn't really ask the people hard questions. But these are people who own monkeys, and when you think monkey, you think of a 2-3 foot monkey. These are little tiny baby monkeys at the very beginning,
yeah,
wearing diapers.
Usually the capuchin monkeys. Remember Friends, Marcel, that little monkey
that's
was running
right.
around
yeah.
Friends? Those are the ones that a lot of people own.
But these people don't own them as monkeys. They own them as children. And that's how the documentary starts.
These funky monkeys have everything a real child could want.
That's a good documentary right there. That's pretty.
That sounded good.
Yeah. And then it died.
Oh.
Oh, we're in trouble.
Hey, Mike, run, run into Studio R and play him off the Odyssey. And I'll just have to pot up Studio R. Sorry, dude.
We are going to be looking for your telephone calls, by the way. If you own a monkey or have owned a monkey as a pet. We're dying to talk to you about that decision and what that was actually like, because every once in a while you'll meet someone who used to own a monkey, and I think that tells you a lot about what it's like to own one.
Well, yeah. You know, from my insane rant yesterday, not a pet. Monkeys
right.
are not a pet. They're wild animals, and at best, you can put them in a cage, although it's horrible to put a majestic animal like that in a cage, but not a pet, even less a child.
Yeah,
I think.
But
that's
right.
What I'm trying to say.
This exactly. particular special, though, is all about the parents. It's on the bottom two tracks, Mike. The parents who treat the monkeys not as pets, but as children.
Right.
And this is the beginning of the special.
These spunky monkeys have everything a real child could want. Clothes and toys, their own rooms complete with TVs, sweets, treats, and most of all, quality time with mom and dad. This is the story of three couples who have chosen to share their lives with monkeys, not as pets, but as part of the family.
Yeah.
Children who will never grow up.
Children who never stop pooping themselves either, by the way.
They do have to put diapers on them at all times.
Yeah.
Guys, I know that there are people who do the exact same thing with dogs and cats. They treat them like kids. I get that. But do you think it's even more common with monkeys because they are so human-like? Because they can sit up in a chair and use the TV remote control, you start to think of them as little people?
I don't think it is more common. I mean, I'm guessing there's not a lot of people that treat their monkeys like children.
No, I beg to differ. I think
really?
Bean's right. I think because they have so many human-like characteristics that it's much easier to project that humanity onto a monkey because they have opposable thumbs and they can hold
yeah.
stuff and drink out
right.
of cups and everything. You can do it even more so with a monkey than you would a dog or a cat.
I saw a TV special recently on Cheetah from the Tarzan movies, who's still alive, by the way, and is the oldest monkey in the world.
Yeah.
And he wears pajamas and sits at the table and eats cereal with a spoon out of a bowl in the morning with his owner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smokes cigars. He drinks martinis.
So
awesome.
So this crazy woman that owns the monkey, she calls the diapers that the monkey has to wear panties.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants the monkey to know that the monkey needs to keep those panties on. Listen to the joy in the monkey's voice when she tries to get the diapers back on.
Are you taking your panties off? Oh, you took off your panties? Okay, that does it. Come on, you took your panties off. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a happy monkey right
that
there.
That is not a noise that I want to ever hear.
You know what? If I had to place a wager in Las Vegas, I would have put the value of my home down on I was going to hear a Southern accent at some point in this documentary.
Oh, man, these people are all from the South.
Yeah.
They are. I think they're the same people that were the Obama haters. Remember the ridiculous
that Obama is that middle name is who say
those people.
Yeah.
That's these are the people.
These
that
are teabaggers.
Yes. So this now they talk about this woman and she is married for a third time. Hard to believe. And and her relationship with her husband,
this guy.
With the monkeys.
In the evenings, Mary Lynn ensures she spends time with all the monkeys, while husband Bob focuses on his own interests.
Which is hanging himself in the closet, because he's married to this woman.
Looking for a new wife.
So she dumps out some pills, and the problem with monkeys is you can't train them. So she's got some medicine, and she thinks the monkey might have taken the medicine, because she can't find it. So now she's got a crisis on her hand. So what does she do? She calls a pet psychic on the phone. And she talks to the pet psychic about the pills, and she wants the pet psychic, who's not with them, over the phone to ask the monkey if the monkey took the pills.
Can you ask him if he took a pink thyroid pill or a hormone pill?
Fortunately, it's good news.
You know, he's telling me that he says that he did not take the pill.
Oh,
he says
good.
He really wants you to know that. He says, I didn't take that pill.
Oh, good.
Isn't that great?
Wow.
Isn't that great how they can determine that without even looking at her?
Well, good thing she didn't go to a vet, because that would just be madness. At least she called the pet psychic.
You know how parents talk baby talk?
To babies, sure.
Yes. It's not as bad as this.
Having brought up two daughters of her own, Lori knows how teenage girls like dressing up,
like
even if they are monkeys.
I don't want to look like a clown. Don't want to look like a clown. No, let's get a little bit, not much. There we go, just a little pink. There. Now you look so pretty.
That is,
I want that monkey to rip her face off.
She's putting makeup on the monkey. She's putting eyeshadow and lipstick on the monkey.
You can't put lipstick on a monkey.
So here's another woman. They follow three couples in this special. Here's another woman who has six. You know, usually you think, okay, these are people that never had kids because they aren't adjusted. They don't understand children, pets, that whole deal. This woman had six children, but it didn't go quite as well.
She treated the children like monkeys, oddly enough.
Jesse is not the only child Lori has. She also has six real children. But as they got older, her relationship with them soured.
About 5 years since I've seen any of my children.
Yeah, is that a surprise to anyone?
None whatsoever.
Because you're crazy, Mom.
It's been 5 years since I've seen them. I don't know what's going on.
They escaped.
One of the couples that adopts a monkey and makes it their child, the woman is 70, the dude, 80.
Oh.
And he is very protective of the monkey, and you do not call that monkey a monkey.
She's my baby girl. If I hear somebody call her a monkey, I throw a fit. She is my daughter, 100%.
In his case, he might be right, though. I think he actually might be part chimp.
Just because of the sound of the way he talks?
Yeah, because it could be his daughter. I think he is partially ape.
Yeah, so they bring up the fact, and this is the final clip, but it's the whole special. I wanted to play the whole special.
I'm sure.
They bring up the fact that these two people are going to die soon because they're very old. And monkeys can live, they say, to be 50 or something like that.
Wow.
So they were asking the woman, what's the plan when you get older and you can't take care of the monkey? Now, everything that we know about monkeys comes into play here.
How are you going to manage as you get older looking after her?
Well, she's going to have to take care of me.
Yes, she is. Yes.
That seems unlikely.
She's going to have to take care of me.
Yeah, that monkey's going to put you in a home at the first opportunity and spend all your money.
And throw its poo at you at the same time.
All right, we need to talk to Kevin and Bean listeners who have monkeys or have had monkeys. 1-800-520-1067. Because it's funny, Ralph, because you brought up the monkey on Friends. And when you watch Friends and you see how much fun they have with their little monkey and how low maintenance that little monkey is, it makes you want to have a monkey as a pet.
Right. That's a TV show.
Yeah.
That is not the real world.
These monkeys 24/7 need someone there watching, taking care of them, the whole deal.
Remember Clint Eastwood hanging out with that orangutan?
Yep, in the movies.
Just a movie. He doesn't really live in Clint's house.
Yeah.
Right. So a quick break, and then we return with your calls. 1-800-520-1067. If you're crazy monkey people, we need to talk to you next right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin brought in some fascinating clips from a documentary that ran on the TLC about people who own monkeys. And they don't just own monkeys as pets. They own monkeys as their kids. And it got us kind of talking on the topic of people who own monkeys and what that must be like. Because it looks like it would be a lot of fun. Maybe it's not.
I looked into having a monkey for real.
Really?
Yeah, because I love monkeys.
Monkeys are awesome.
But
behind a cage looking through the glass at a zoo.
Right. And everywhere you look, there's no information that says, yeah, it's a great idea. Go ahead. None. It's 100% a terrible idea.
I could see maybe having a chimp. Because they're, like, larger, and they seem you can actually interact with them a little bit. I mean, they're enormously dangerous because they're so powerful.
They can rip your face off.
I know.
Yeah.
Right. But it seems as though that is a little bit more of what you want in the chimp-human, the monkey-human experience, that exchange. But these little capuchin monkeys, they just run around. They're like rats. They're swinging from stuff and jumping around. It seems like madness to
tearing
me.
Stuff up.
It's
every house just looks like a hoarder house.
Ugh.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Michelle. She is on line two this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's got a little monkey experience personally. Hey, Michelle, thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
Hey, how's it doing, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May?
Going well. You own a monkey?
Yeah, when I was little, I was about 7 or 8, my dad bought me a monkey. He brought it back from West Virginia, and he brought it up to California.
Right.
Yeah.
And
now, wait, were you asking for one, or did he just think this would be a great surprise?
He just thought it'd be a great surprise.
Nice.
Yeah. I went by one of these roadside monkey stands. I got me Virginia.
Got me a monkey.
Picked me up one of them monkeys.
Oh, yeah. My dad was eccentric.
And what was it like, Michelle?
He was fun. He got in a lot of trouble.
Your dad or neighbors, the monkey?
The monkey.
Oh, okay.
There were some neighbors that lived next door that had some old paint cans outside, and we would let him run loose through the neighborhood, and he ended up popping up the cans and putting paint all over these people's houses.
Awesome.
Oh, that's fun.
If you could train it to do that, that would be awesome.
How long did you end up keeping the monkey?
We had him for about a year, but then he ended up attacking my mom. So my dad.
Well, there you go. There it is, right there. That's why monkeys aren't good pets.
I love the we let it run free around the neighborhood part.
How did the neighbors respond to that?
Well, we had a lady that lived down the street, but she was an alcoholic, and she used to have cases of wine delivered. And we owned a wrecking yard, and my dad had parked the tow truck in front of her house one day, and she looked outside and saw this monkey.
Yeah.
She about freaked out. She comes knocking on her door going, I saw this monkey. She goes, if there really is a monkey, I'm going to stop drinking. And my mom ended up telling her, no, we had a monkey. But
then it attacked your mom. And so then there's that.
How much did it hurt your mom in the attack?
He bit her on the shoulder and on the neck. It wasn't too bad, but my dad tried to kill it after that. So
okay, that's a bad parent. That's a bad pet relationship.
I could talk about you with your family for the rest of the day. I can only imagine the stories.
Oh yeah, there's grips of stories on the monkey.
Yeah,
Michelle, you are awesome. Thank you very much for calling the Kevin DeBeach Show. We appreciate it. Let's try Susan real quick on line five. Yeah, a lot of the monkey stories probably end with we gave the monkey away because we got attacked. Right?
Attacked. Yeah. Susan, hi.
Hi.
You own or owned a monkey?
I owned a monkey. My parents owned it for many years until it died. The monkey is like any other animal. You guys are pretty much that clip, that TLC thing was all about crazy people. Normal people can have monkeys. I mean, the monkey wore a leash when he was in the house. He wore a collar around his waist. He lived in a cage outside, which is not to say we didn't have some weird experiences. One time he did get loose in the house, and the Easter baskets were still around. We were, pretty little kids, and he didn't eat much sugar. But he got the Easter basket, and he would sit and take a bite, and then if he didn't like it, which he didn't like any of it, he would throw it across the room.
So that's the best.
Throwing the candy across the room.
That's what I love about monkeys, is they throw naturally.
Yeah,
they are
they
natural
do.
Throwers.
And they're very fast. I mean, you cannot, if you let a monkey get loose and it's not trained at all, you can't control it because they have a
really?
Their
wait,
tail.
Wait. You're saying you can't control a wild animal?
It's strange. They're caught so easily in the wild. When they're in the jungle, they get caught by everything.
That's why it's all about management. That's why you have to have a leash. You have to keep them in a cage. You can't just let them run wild. But our monkey never wore diapers. He never wore lipstick. I mean, that is crazy.
Well, these are people that not only have monkeys as a pet, but as a child. They look at it as a child.
So, and people do the same thing to their dogs.
So they are crazy.
They do. Hey, let me ask you this question, Susan. I don't think I've ever asked anyone this before, but can you either potty train a monkey or get a monkey to go outside, like through a doggy door, to do its business?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. The answer to that? Nope.
But think about how smart they are. You ought to be able to.
They're so smart, but that cannot be done. You cannot housebreak a monkey. And yet dogs you can, and cats you can.
And pigs you can, too. When my pigs lived in the house, they were totally, litter box trained. So, I mean, why can't you teach a monkey then, I wonder?
I bet you could teach a chimp, because they are a more intelligent
monkey. No, chimps neither.
But chimps are not the
smartest.
Listen,
the wild animals are wild animals. You can't train them to go out through a door. They're not into that. People, this is a bad idea.
Apes, though, you can teach to use a toilet and flush for some reason.
They're very cleanly that way.
The neck.
All right, so the advice as we close on this topic, then, is get a monkey or don't get a monkey. What are we saying? What's the official position?
Do we like the people we're talking to?
Is that the difference?
I say get two.
Because they need friends.
That's right. Hey, intern Rapey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We always look forward to the days that you're here. She is an enigma. She is one of the craziest interns we've ever had. And I have to give Kevin all the credit, because Kevin does not hire for competence. Kevin hires for comedy.
How dare you? We did find out her other nickname is TMI, too much information. And we found out a bunch of things about her, including the fact that she wrote a letter to her mother when she lost her virginity. She wrote a letter informing her and, I don't know, thanking her, asking her blessing. What?
No,
I've never heard of this.
Okay. I felt guilty having sex in my mom's house.
Okay. How old were you?
I was 18.
Okay.
Without telling her. I don't know. I just have to share everything with my mom. So
you have a super close relationship with her, and it didn't seem odd to you to write her a letter saying, hey, mom, no longer a virgin?
It's better than saying it to her face.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right, but my thought process, and I'm not a guy, so I don't understand this. My thought process is I don't tell them that, really, ever. They're
you
just going to have to assume. No.
You didn't write her a letter?
No.
What's wrong with
that? Kevin's mom still doesn't know. He's got all those kids, and she still doesn't know he's done it.
I don't know. It just seems odd. It just seems like that's one of those things that you don't. Everybody knows what's happening, and your parents know what's happening, but you don't want to talk to your mom about that.
Do you?
I don't know. I just felt the need to.
So you wrote her a letter.
Yes.
And it said what?
Let's see. It's pretty long ago. I don't remember. I remember saying, Mom, I want
to. Dude, I scored.
Yeah.
You know your old boyfriend?
No, I don't know what it said. I'm going to try to find it, though, and bring it in.
Please do.
Yeah.
Well, you must remember something about it. I mean, that's certainly a momentous day in a young girl's life. You sat down and you said, hey, Mom, I thought you should know I had sex. I mean, was it
something like that. Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
You didn't go into too much detail? Were there photos attached to the
video?
No.
No.
Did you do it the same day? I mean, like right after the guy left, did you write the letter?
Yeah, most likely I did because I felt really guilty.
Who's thinking about their mom in the minutes of during the afterglow? Come on.
Did you begin writing it while having sex?
No.
Dear mom. No. That's an odd thing. I've never heard of that.
What was her reaction?
She was really proud of me that I told her. She appreciated it. And yeah.
Had you guys been having talks about, hey, I'm starting to get to be that age. Hey, I've got a boy that I'm kind of interested in. Hey, I'm thinking about it. I mean, was it one of those, like it was part of a continuing conversation with your mom?
Nope, not at all.
Nothing like that. Just out of the blue.
Just came out of the blue.
Yes, it did. No, because I was with this guy for, I don't know, probably like 4 months or something. And she really liked him. But I never told her I was his girlfriend. And
right.
Every time I would spend the night at his house, I told her I was spending the night at my girlfriend's house.
Right.
And then the guilt, like, consumed me, so.
Now, you said you you have a really open relationship with your mom and that you pretty much tell her everything.
Yeah.
Has that continued after this letter?
That was the last time?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
All right.
I didn't even tell her I was on the show because I don't want her to.
Oh, no, that's things. No one will find out. That's, yeah. Don't worry about that. That's,
well,
this is private.
She would be the only listener, so don't worry about it. does she have access to Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
She doesn't really check it, and I don't think she knows how. So.
How about when you're on webcams making out with chicks? Does she see that?
No. No. Definitely not.
You got a secret life going on, girl.
She does. And around here, she's super quiet. She's like a mime. We have a mime intern.
And then she just
she mumbles.
Just busts loose right after the show.
Hey, I'm going to head out of this.
See you guys on Wednesday.
What do you think happened to the letter, by the way? Is that the type of thing she she saves in a book for you or something?
My mom keeps everything, so I'm
really?
Sure she has.
When
it,
do
yeah.
you work again? Monday?
Friday.
All right. We need the letter.
But my house is super messy with all her stuff, so it might take a while to find it.
Need the letter.
I will find it.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
Was there a father figure that you told, and then he said,
"Oh, good for you." And how was it?
Oh. No.
Hey, it's Olivia Munn, by the way.
Hi.
Hey.
I feel so
Olivia.
Horrible. I'm supposed to be here Monday through Friday.
Yes.
I end up being in New York,
right.
Monday, Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm driving in for my 8 a.m. hour, twittering about it, very excited.
Yes.
And then I get a message. I don't know if you got this, Olivia, but you're supposed to be here from 7 to 9. Let us know if there's any problems.
Yeah.
Well, chicks are not reliable. That's what we've learned.
Are you bad or are we bad?
Both? I think I'm going to put it on me. It's my fault.
All right.
It's my fault. You know,
communication breakdown, I think.
It's been a crazy morning. My best friend flew in from Chicago, and we sleep in the same bed because we're lesbians.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the night, I rolled over and just elbowed her right in the face. And if you look at her, it looks like she's got a massive herpes on her face. Because I just busted her face open so bad. It's pretty bad.
That's
Are you
news.
Sure it's not a massive herpes?
It might be because we did make out.
That's
and
what
I, am,
I'm saying.
I just have it all over me.
No, you're riddled. You're riddled with STDs.
My vagina looks so sad now.
Yeah, I know.
Olivia, are you a UFC fan? Because Dana White is coming in and joining us in a couple of minutes.
You know, everyone at G4 is like the biggest UFC fan.
Yeah.
And I go there, but I'm the kind of person, I want results right away. And so sometimes when I'm watching it, I don't think I understand the...
Nuances?
The ground
yes.
game?
I just want to see like blood and like breaking bones, and that's what I want to see.
That happens a lot, but not always. Yeah,
my favorite part of mixed martial arts is the striking as well. Being an old boxing fan, that's the most exciting part for me. When the ground game, I can appreciate it, that it takes some amount of skill to wrestle and to pin.
Right.
But it does, I kind of lose interest a little
I think that's the biggest thing why, making it even more mainstream. Like some of my friends love it. They're like, when they talk about they're on the ground, or it's so hard, or he's not really getting choked out right now. Like to me, I don't really get it as much, so if there's more like deaths,
That's you'd better. Like
that would be awesome.
Okay. Maybe they execute the loser. Maybe that's a wrinkle we could add. I like it.
You should be like on the board of UFC.
That's a good point. I might apply.
All right. Data joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Olivia Munn is here now, along with Ralph Grumman in the Showbiz Beat.
I don't like how he said now.
Well,
now she's here.
Meaning, as opposed to Mr. White, who'll be joining us in a few minutes. That's all.
That is true. Yeah.
Legendary ladies man Russell Brand may have finally met his match, boys and girls. You know, he's dating Katy Perry now.
Ah! I know. Ah! Wait, do you love Katy Perry?
Oh, so yes. much.
Yes. I love her, too.
So yes. much.
Best.
You don't like Russell?
He's cool.
Not
he's
with her.
Cool, but no, he doesn't deserve that.
Such beautiful, large breasts. Yes. And she's so tiny.
And that does happen. All of that is true.
The two of them are a hot and heavy item. One source says they had, and this is their quote, not mine, a magical time on their recent vacation to Thailand.
Hey,
what if they ended up in Bangkok?
There it is.
And they're ready to go public with their affection. Russell reportedly said, I think I'm in love. Katie reportedly said, I think I need a shower.
Yeah.
Because it strikes me as sort of a smellier Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I can just smell him just watching him.
I wonder how guys make that decision to wear their hair like that. They're like, this is a good look.
Well, he pulls it off.
This is what I'm going for.
A lot of women find him dirty sexy, I think.
Katy Perry, who else?
You know what's weird is he came into the studio, and I kind of fought it because I didn't think he was a good host for the MTV Awards. He was just yelling the whole time. And again, he wasn't a good host. But when he came in, he was very, very personable. And all of the girls were like, wow, oh, wow, yeah, he's he makes great eye contact.
He's charming.
But I think it's so much different when you're a personality and you get out there and you start to be this other person that's out there. Opposed to like with you guys, you're so comfortable. You're being yourself every day and he's becoming this person. So when you meet him in real life, he just is probably just being himself.
I think it's the accent, too. I think women just fall for the British accent.
Ugh, I can't stand British accents.
But the voice. The voice is just brutal. The last MTV Awards, I was like, stop yelling at me. I can hear you.
That's how they do it in London.
You have a microphone.
It's very loud in London.
Yes.
You have to speak up. A lot of
You're
buses.
Not worldly enough, Kevin.
I guess not.
A lot of lorries going down the street.
Kim Raver, former star of 24 and Lipstick Jungle, has just joined the cast of ABC's medical drama Grey's Anatomy, according to Daily Variety.
We had the same manager.
You and Kim Raver?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great story.
Why aren't you joining the cast of Grey's Anatomy, then?
Because I'm not.
She's on Greek.
Greek. She's got the Hit Greek. ABC Family
got
show.
The Greek
it's
going
a big
on.
Deal. Let's talk about that for 10 minutes.
Kim will be playing a new surgeon at the hospital. Well, I guess those are the only options, really. Surgeon or dying patient, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, or nurse.
Better cutting than being cut upon,
sure.
I suppose. Larry David made a smart choice when he brought back the cast of Seinfeld. Overnight Nielsen say that Curb Your Enthusiasm picked its best ratings in 5 years over the weekend.
When are we moving off of Nielsen ratings? That's ridiculous.
Not for a long time.
I don't know.
1.6 million viewers tuned in to watch the cast reunite.
Do we know what it normally gets?
That was a great half hour. I don't know what it normally gets.
I don't know either, but these were the best ratings in 5 years, so I'm assuming less than 1.6 million. That's my guess.
It's pretty accurate.
You're good at math.
Thank you. Rebecca Romaine?
Oh!
As announced, she will probably be sliding back into her Mystique costume, you know, which is basically blue body paint.
All right.
She says there is another X-Men franchise spinoff in the works, and they have asked her to reprise her role as Mystique. Of course, she won't entertain the idea, she said, for at least another year, because she still has baby weight to lose.
Did they promise that Brett Ratner wouldn't direct the last one?
I hope they'd made that part of the deal.
Yeah. Maybe they should put him as UFC.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, then I would watch.
More casting news. They're remaking Predator, the Arnold Schwarzenegger classic film Predator.
Yeah, what? What was that? He was in the jungle, and he was...
With a band of commandos.
Right.
Including Jesse the Body Ventura.
Right, sure.
And they were hunting down an alien bounty hunter.
That with
the ability
invisible.
To turn invisible when
yes.
he wanted to.
Okay, yeah.
They went in as an extraction team.
Right.
They didn't, and then the alien just turned out he happened to be there.
They ran into each other in the jungle.
And the alien started hunting them.
Yes. And Danny Glover said, I'm too old for this S
right.
at one point.
Okay. All right.
I've never seen it.
Seen Predator? What a whore!
I'm a whore for many reasons, but not because of that.
Not that.
Then I never saw it either, by the way.
Oh!
Well, we don't expect
you. Well, we
you
know
to
you are.
Wendy.
It's not my kind of movie.
Yeah, I know.
It's a movie for guys.
Right.
That's why.
Because the air conditioning blows up your skirt when you go to see movies like that, so it's not good for you. Schwarzenegger's role, by the way, being played by Adrian Brody.
What?
Oh. What?
Action star Adrian Brody will be taking over.
How do they make that decision?
The lead in Predator.
That's
bad.
Yeah,
that's a swing and a miss.
What if he gets super swole?
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That's really hard to get super swole from that size, isn't it?
He'll never be as large as his nose. That's all I'm saying. I don't care how many steroids he takes.
That is true.
Topher Grace also goes to
This is lightweight.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm not
Topher
kidding.
Topher Grace and Adrian Brody in Predator,
the remake.
You are making Michael that up.
Sarah. I'm not.
And Michael Cera is Rambo.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Wow.
Robert Rodriguez, however, has written the film and will direct, so that's an upside.
Okay.
But still, it's going to be Topher Grace and Adrian Brody.
That's awesome.
Instead of carrying bazookas, they'll be carrying... pencil holders or the pocket protectors and slide rules.
Yeah.
I wonder what their thought process is on that. You know, like, we're so great. We got Robert Rodriguez, you know, directing and writing. We can do whatever we want.
It doesn't matter who we cast.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Taylor Hicks from American Idol is 33 years old today. Hard to believe that dude is 33.
Yeah.
He's 53, maybe.
He's the roughest looking 33-year-old ever.
Is he the one that won last year? Or?
He's the gray-haired dude who won two seasons ago.
But no one, like, he was a big, kind of a big deal at that moment, but then he kind of went away. So no one
three seasons ago now,
was
I guess.
Was it three?
Yeah.
Tom York of Radiohead is 41 years old. Toni Braxton turns 42 years old today. John Mellencamp celebrates his 58th birthday. Joy Behar of The View is 67. And Simon Cowell, judge from American Idol, celebrates his 50th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm Dana White, the president of the UFC.
Dana White.
Nobody gives a Boxing is trying to sell you the fight that nobody cares about.
He is the president of Ultimate Fighting Championship. He is profane.
I don't like Showtime because I want to kick them in their balls.
He is crude, and he is completely authentic.
I love boxing. I watch boxing all the time. My big thing is I tell it like it is, and these guys just don't fight, man. That wasn't a fight. And the Klitschko fight wasn't a fight on Saturday night either.
We're the biggest fight promoters in the history of the fight game. As bad as it got, and there's crazy we've done, we never did it. We stayed true to the sport. I don't believe in bull. They're the best conditioned athletes in the world. They have to be well-versed in boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu. And that's no plug. That's no bullshit. That's the truth.
I think in the next 10 years, we're going to be the biggest sport in the world. Bigger than anything. Bigger than the NFL. Bigger than soccer. Bigger than anything.
Easy, pal. Easy.
All right. The president has arrived, ladies and gentlemen. Dana White, the president of the UFC, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Olivia Munn, of course, also sitting with us here this morning. How are you, Dana? Good to see you again, my friend.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Mr. President.
Thank you.
I bet you are more popular than President Obama. My bet is that your approval rating is probably higher than
that guy is everywhere. He's on the cover of everything. He's on every. Who's running the country while this guy's out there promoting? He's a bigger promoter than I am.
Well, that could be. That could be. Now, last time you were supposed to be in, you had to cancel, but you sent in instead. And this was a weird day because we had Dana White scheduled. Instead, we have Lyoto Machida and Mauricio Shogun Rua. Both of them come into the studio, and they're the ones that are fighting at the end of the month.
Really?
Yes.
Are they entertaining? Are they good on air?
They really were. They speak Portuguese, right? They're from Brazil. So we had
by the way, was quite a surprise for us when they arrived.
Too, so we could get as much English out of both of them as we could.
That's good. We had a translator, and he spoke English, so that was good.
But you know what was weird about it? And we loved those guys. By the way, all of your fighters, we love all of your fighters when they come in. They all have such great personalities, and they're just really down-to-earth nice people. But what was really funny about these guys is a couple days from that interview, they were going to go into the ring and try to kill one another. Yet they acted like they were best friends. I mean, they had flown to L.A. together, sitting next to each other on the plane, and they were just – they had all these inside jokes, and they were cracking each other up. It's crazy that they could then flip a switch and go out and try to hurt the other guy.
No, that's the way the sport is. You know, all these guys at the press conference, when we have the press conference the week of the fight, the media comes in and there's food there for them, and these guys will sit down at the same table and eat together. It's not about, you know, I have to hate you to fight you. It's competition. It's no different than, you know, two football teams going to play each other on Sunday to see who the best is. It's the same thing with these fighters.
Boy, there's a level of distrust, though, where people go, I don't know, if they're friends, if they're hanging out, then maybe we're not getting, you know what I mean?
That's like because we're programmed that way, you know. In boxing, everybody always had to hate each other and had to talk smack. Believe me, if you tune into the fight on October 24th or go at Staples, you will have no question whether they like each other or not, or whether they're not trying to compete against each other.
Yeah.
They're going in there to fight to win.
Yeah, because competing is different than liking. It's like, I want to compete with you, but it's not that I don't like you.
But these guys don't have to hate each other to fight each other.
Right.
You know, it's not about I have to hate you. It's just we're going to find out who the best is on Saturday.
Yeah, and they have so much respect for the other guy. That's true. And that's what's amazing, because they know what it takes to be at that level, to be able to fight at that level. And if anybody's good enough to fight me, he's somebody I have to respect.
Yeah, there's this martial arts feel to MMA that, you know, it's just like they respect each other. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually one of the refreshing things about the sport. But we have our moments. We have our times when two guys fight each other that absolutely hate each other. And obviously, that makes it a lot more fun because we're so used to the respect thing.
Yeah. At my network at G4, everyone go crazy over it. I mean, I have friends, my Blair Herder, Blair Butler, Kevin Pereira. They all they do is talk about UFC. They love it so much. And I think I'm definitely coming from I'm probably going to be the stupid girl on K-Rock right now. I'm like, whoa, I don't really know it. But honestly, when I watch it, I love it. But I really wish there was more... I don't understand it enough.
Right.
I wish there was more like those blows, because same thing when I watch boxing. It's like I got in. I'm like, oh, I can see what they're doing.
Right. It's crazy because as fast as this thing's grown, it's been 10 years. And one of the biggest hurdles I knew was going to be the ground game. You know, people grew up in boxing and not understand. Plus, we really grew up in that John Wayne era of never hit a man when he's down. You know, the old John Wayne movies, he'd hit a guy and a guy would go down and he'd stand him back up and then hit him again.
Right.
You know, so... I'm surprised at how fast, but the ground game has taken off here in the United States. So many people train in jiu-jitsu now and understand the ground game. And what's going to be big for us is, you know, our video game, UFC Undisputed, came out. All these people are playing the game and learning the ground game. So it grew a lot faster than I expected it to, but I understand what you're saying.
I don't mind hitting a guy when he's down at all. I just want to see more hitting.
That's a positive.
I want to see a kick in the head, smash a glass in his face. Like, I want to see...
I don't think they use glass, but...
Well, they should. Well, you should. As a president.
Hot crazy chick.
I want to see more blood. Hot crazy Asian chick, I will throw a shoe in your face. I learned that from my mom. She throws everything. But if they hit more, if they were on the ground and just like, you know, like when you watch a fight, like remember when you're a kid and you're like watching school fights, if they're not really doing anything, but as soon as there's blows are going, then you're excited.
Well, I got to tell you though, and I'm not a person who has a background in that. I mean, I'm a world-class kickboxer, but other than that, but you listen to the announcers and you go, oh, he's very dangerous in this position, and he's on his back. Now, the other guy is like, he's getting, what do you say, past full guard or whatever? Passes, the other guy's right on top of him. And the guy on top should be worried, is what the announcers are saying.
Yeah, no,
and
you're absolutely
that's
right.
That's a weird thing to me.
Yep, no, and that's what I thought was going to be a huge, huge problem for us was educating people on this ground game, but it's people get it. But we're always going to have the segment of people that don't.
Right.
Right now, as these younger kids are growing up, you know, all the things that people talked about the UFC 10 years ago, you know, people were afraid of it, you know, didn't want it on TV. All these kids that are growing up now are growing up with the UFC on television, their fathers, their uncles, their brothers, whoever it is watching it on television. And in the next, you know, 10 to 12 years, people are going to be like, oh, it's the UFC. I grew up watching that. It won't be. Hey. What's more violent than professional football? You know what I mean? Professional football, man, these guys are, you know, 6'5", 265 pounds, run faster than a tractor.
They've got a helmet and they got a lot of stuff. You guys have.
When you're that big, believe me, the padding doesn't help that much. These guys are getting knocked out, concussions, broken limbs. Their backs are all messed up. But, you know, we don't look at the violence of football because it's football. We grew up
Aaron Rodgers fell down more on Monday Night Football this week than most of your guys do in a fight, I'll tell you that.
Do you feel it's really the violence that it's not making it mainstream?
No, not at all.
I think it's the understanding of it. Yeah,
it's a combination of both.
It's gone way mainstream now.
Yeah, it's super
UFC has just exploded. When did California okay it?
Early on. First, it was Nevada, New Jersey, and then California. So,
which was
probably
about 2000,
8 years ago? 2002, I think they opened. So California was probably 2003.
Now, this is something that probably everyone here knows, but for people who don't know, like me, that are listening, how do you become the president of UFC?
Well, what happened was I was always involved in the fight game, but I was involved in boxing. And I got introduced to jiu-jitsu. I started taking jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. I was blown away by it and started to become a UFC fan. Actually managed Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell back at the time and got into this huge contract battle with the old owner of the UFC. This was back in 99.
And then you got the ring and fought him.
No.
For control.
Then
that's how it ought to go.
Gladiator.
Right. And anytime somebody wants to take on Dana, step up.
Oh my gosh.
I heard they were going out of business. So
you should think about Adrian Brody getting in there.
And, yeah, sure.
So they were going out of business.
Yeah, and me and my partners moved in and bought it back in 2001.
That's awesome.
And it was either you or John McCain was going to be the president of UFC, I understand, right?
Yeah. Actually, John McCain, I credit John McCain for being here today if it wasn't for him. You know, basically what he was saying about the old UFC was you can't put on unregulated fights. You can't go to these states where there's no athletic commission. You have to be overseen by an athletic commission.
It was too violent. It wasn't legal enough.
It wasn't even that. It was just that it had to be sanctioned. When these fights happen, no different. We fall under the same rules and regulations as professional boxing. The athletic commission comes in and oversees us, which means we're regulated by the government.
Right.
And he was saying you have to be regulated by the government. We agreed with that. So when we bought the UFC, we ran toward regulation, not away from it.
Interesting. All right, we got to take a break. Dana White is here, of course, the president of UFC. We have so much other stuff we got to talk about. We need to get an update on Kimbo Slice and how he's doing on heavyweights. We got to talk more about the UFC Fight Night, which is coming up October 24th at Staples Center. That's Machida versus Shogun. And Dana, you should know that you are one of the few guests that comes in, and before you even sit down in the chair, the phones are blowing up with fans who have questions for you. So cool. We're going to include as many of those calls as we can, and we'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Olivia Munn sitting in with us here this morning from G4,
yes.
Attack of the Show.
Been
also
here since
UFC,
7 a.m.
You have, yeah.
Also, UFC President Dana White is here. Of course, October 24th is fast approaching. Available on pay-per-view, it's UFC Fight Night with Machida versus Shogun at Staples Center. You can't buy tickets for that anymore. That's long sold out, right, Dana?
No, not yet.
You can.
You can buy tickets, yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great news.
Tickets still are available.
Ticketmaster.
Yep.
Ticketmaster.
So Shogun beat Chuck Liddell so bad that he had to go on Dancing with the Stars. That's how terrible that defeat was, right?
No. Chuck, I had been calling for Chuck to retire. I wanted Chuck to retire. Listen, Chuck Liddell, you know, one of the greatest fighters ever, one of the greatest champions in UFC history,
right.
One of the most beloved fighters ever. I mean, what else does this guy have left to prove at 40 years old?
The last thing you want to see is see him get beat up.
Yeah.
At least.
He's got a ton of money. Super famous. He's beat everybody. He's been a world champion. There's just nothing else to prove for him. So that's why he and I are having this battle over retirement. And only because, you know, I love the guy. He's one of my best friends, and I just don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah,
sure. Let's squeeze in a couple of phone calls for the president. 1-800-520-1067. I'm curious with Lorenzo on the line four here, what you got for him. Hi, Lorenzo. Thanks for hanging on. You're on with Dana White.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Dana. This is Lorenzo.
Good morning.
Question. I'm not a big fan of cable TV. I was wondering, I would like to be able to purchase a fight online. You know, is there a way that you guys are planning to do that?
Yeah, you can do that. You can buy the fights through UFC.com.
Really?
Yeah. That's
recent, right?
Yeah. No, we've been doing it for a while.
Oh, you have?
Are they live?
Yeah, they're live, just like watching, the pay-per-view.
That's awesome. Right.
Cool. What about Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, Ultimate Fighter isn't yet. We don't have that online yet.
Okay.
Spike TV would have a problem with that.
Sure. Yeah.
And then one final question.
I've never heard of a guy who's got a problem with cable before. Yeah. What's that all about?
I'm sorry, your last question, because you're running out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mike Tyson, my man. Mike Tyson, what's up?
What's up with Mike Tyson? He's a friend of mine. He's a good guy. I like him very much. He comes to the fights. Are you asking me if he's ever going to fight or something?
I hope not.
No. Mike's done.
Okay.
He is done. He's not even going to be on Dancing with the Stars. That's how done he is. Thank you very much for the call. He brought up the Ultimate Fighter. This has been, it's got to be your biggest season. It certainly has been so entertaining to watch heavyweights. I mean, it's got to be going great for you.
Yeah. The first episode pulled 5.1 million viewers. The
Whoa.
Second episode pulled 4.1. And the last one, where the fight happened, we did 6.5 million viewers on the last episode.
Wow.
On cable TV, that's insane.
That is crazy.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Now, so what's going to happen to Kimbo now?
Kimbo's still on the show. You know, the great thing about The Ultimate Fighter is, it ain't over till it's over, man. Guys get hurt, things happen, and anybody can come back at any time.
Did you know that was going to kind of go that way with Kimbo because he didn't have the training a lot of these guys had? Because for a while, for a brief moment, the hype was out of this world on him. Like, he was just going to come in and kick everyone's ass and dominate. And
yeah, I actually, to be honest with you, I was actually impressed with his performance. You know, it could have been a lot worse. He had some decent takedown defense, and even, you know, Rashad Evans hated Kimbo coming onto this show. And after that first fight, Rashad wanted to work with him. Rashad said, you know, this guy has
He hated him because he was a street.
Has some tools.
Like off street.
Yeah,
he
that's,
no technique.
That's why everybody, you know,
That's a knock down against him.
He had a target on his back coming onto the show anyway. But
that was smart of you guys bringing on, because I knew who he was, but I don't really know UFC a lot. So then, of course, I get more into it because I'm like, oh, I know who he is.
Yeah. Right.
Don't you think that regardless of what happens to Kimbo in the ring and fight-wise on the show, this has been the best thing for him because we get to see what type of guy he is, and we're starting to expose the personality of Kimbo
Slice.
No doubt
about it. And if you watch those videos on YouTube, you know, part of the things that has made him so famous is, you know, you think this guy is a thug. Right. He walks into these backyards and does these fights, and that was the impression I had of him too. When I first met him, I was blown away. You know, I didn't know who this guy really was. He's actually a really cool guy,
and he comes across as so humble, and he actually is open about his desire to want to be a better fighter. Yep. And I think that does great. You know, that's great for him and his cred in the sport.
And he's earning a lot of respect from people in the business. Right. No doubt about it.
How much do people win when they win a fight?
How much what?
You know, like when what's the purse?
Oh, it depends. You know, let me put it this way. Chuck Liddell never has to work again. I mean, you know, so these guys make anywhere from hundreds of thousands of dollars to millions of dollars.
You seem to be friends with all of your fighters. Is that possible, Dana?
Yeah, I mean, I'm friends with a lot of the guys. Trust me, there's a lot of guys I don't like at all. But, you know, for the most part, yeah, I'm friends with and
Let's
care about.
Let's name some names. Who do you not like?
Guys.
Well, no, yeah, that's even more fun.
Everybody knows the long-lasting feud I had with Tito Ortiz.
Right, yes.
Tito and I, you know, publicly, verbally smashed each other frequently. And he and I have made up. He's back in the UFC, and I'm actually happy about it. I'm really happy to squash that and put it behind us.
Javier is on the phone, and he wants to know who he's going to fight next, because didn't his opponent get injured? Tito Ortiz?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, Javier, his opponent got injured?
No, I'm sorry. Javier on the phone was going to ask. We don't have time to squeeze
Tito,
him all in.
Tito was fighting Mark Coleman in Vegas, and Coleman blew his knee out. So we're working on a replacement for Mark Coleman right now. I'll have a fight for Tito in the next couple of days.
How do you make up with somebody you have a long feud with? You call him, he calls you.
Yeah, well, actually, we had a mutual friend who got in between it and put us back together. And
you met at the Olive Garden. You shared some soup salad and breadsticks, and you're like, you know what? Yeah. This is a friendship.
Something like
this
that.
This is where family meets,
you, man,
and has dinner.
I love you, man.
Dana, are you kind of like the older brother? I mean, do the guys turn to you when there's trouble? Like when Rampage had that problem with the police. I mean, are you one of his first calls to go, Dana, I'm in trouble. What do I do?
He didn't have to call anybody. He was on television live laying in the middle of the street with his hands behind his head.
I got to tell you, that was one of the best car chases I've ever seen, because of the full-size picture of him on his truck.
Yeah, you don't want to be running from the police with a picture of yourself on the side of your car.
Full-size, like a 6-foot poster of himself on his truck.
But the answer is yes. I you know, it's funny because I deal with, you know, the toughest guys on the planet, and when things go bad, I'm usually the first call they make.
You're like the den mother. I mean, you're the guy that they go to when they got troubles. You got to figure out a way to keep them straight, right?
Yep.
And then you have people killed, right? You just go, take care of this for me, and I don't want to know the details.
All right. We got to take a break there. We got one more break with our friend Dana White, president of the UFC. Don't forget, UFC Fight Night is October 24th at 7 at Staples Center. I found out this morning that tickets are still available if you want to see Machida versus Shogun in person. That's the top of the card. And we'll return with a bunch more of your phone calls for Dana White right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Olivia Munn from Attack of the Show on G4 is here with us, along with the president of the UFC, Dana White. Your hardcore fans, Dana, have been hanging on. They all have many, many questions about UFC. Would you mind if we take a couple more before you have to go?
Sure, yeah, I'd love to.
All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Why don't we, wow, we got some really good ones here. Why don't we talk to Gary real quick? He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's got a future of the UFC question. Not that you need any help in that direction, apparently. Gary, you're on with Dana. Go ahead.
Hey, Dana, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. So my question is, it seems like every month my cable bill has at least one UFC fight on it, maybe two.
Right. Thank you.
I was wondering if you guys have like any plans to transition into maybe something on network television, like a Thursday night throwdown or something like that, outside of Spike.
Well, one of the things that I like to do is, you know, obviously I know and I appreciate it very much how many pay-per-views you guys buy a year. That's why we try to give back. For instance, UFC 105 is a great card. We've got, Randy Couture against Brandon Vera, Dan Hardy and Mike Swick. The winner of that fight will fight for the title against GSP, and then Bisping and Kang. And the great thing about UFC 105 is it's free on Spike TV. So that thing will be – it's in Manchester, England. We'll be beaming it back live. And, yes, I have been working on a network deal where I'm hoping we're going to do – 4 big fights a year for free on network TV. And when I do these network fights on free TV, they're going to be pay-per-view quality fights like this Couture Vera fight. So the answer is yes. Thanks for the support, man. I appreciate it.
Can you get GSP to stop wearing shorts that are so tight?
The chicks love them.
I'm just saying.
We hate them. They love them.
All right.
And you never notice he wears like the biggest cup on the planet. I didn't even know they made cups that big.
Yeah.
Do you think girls really say they like guys in tight shorts?
Really? But these aren't just tight shorts. These are inside of his skin.
This is George St. Pierre. He's got the whole he can pull it off thing. You, if you met him, you'd...
He's a stud.
I doubt it.
Let's talk to Vincent real quick. He's on line 4 on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hi, Vince. You're on with Dana White. Go ahead.
Hey, Dana. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Thanks. First of all, one second. I'm a huge fan, dude.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Anyway, I had a question. You know how you were talking about Chuck Liddell about retirement? Have any talks like that come between you and Randy Couture?
You know, Randy Couture's body is 100% healthy. This guy's, you know, let me tell you this. I love Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture have lived very different lifestyles, okay? Very different lifestyles. And, Randy Couture still he looked good in that Nogueira fight. He looked great in the Nogueira fight. He's had the best fight so far against Brock Lesnar out of any of the heavyweights. And he's a beast at 205 pounds. We'll see how he looks against Vera. Believe me, Randy Couture is a very smart guy, and he's going to know when it's time to hang it up.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, dude. Hey, what do you love about the card on October 24th, Dana?
It's, first of all, I love. Let me say this first. If you've never been to a live UFC event, you couldn't get to Vegas or whatever it was. You didn't make it to the last one. We were at Staples. I'm not just promoting. I'm telling you the truth. It is the most exciting live sporting event you will ever see. And if you didn't get the opportunity to go before, you should go check it out at Staples. And the great thing about this one is the Machida Shogun fight. Two of the best 205 pounders in the world. Either one of these guys wins, they're on their way to possibly being pound for pound best fighter in the world in the running with Anderson Silva. So it
doesn't matter
night.
To you who wins, I guess.
No. I mean, basically, we put on the fights. I don't control who wins or loses. Whoever wins, whoever loses.
That was boxing, the way they used to do that.
Right.
No, but I wasn't suggesting that at all. I meant it doesn't matter to you who wins because they're both your guys. They're both great, and they're both going to fight again. And
exactly. Your point was, just like boxing, only one promoter would have one guy and another promoter would have another, so they needed a guy to win.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's not the case with us. That's why we're able to put on the best fights and all the fights the fans want to see.
You know, it's so funny, Dana, when you came in and we played that piece of tape from you talking about how UFC in 10 or 12 years could be bigger than the NFL, I kind of laugh inside, but now after spending 45 minutes with you, I believe you.
All right, wait.
I think you have talked me into it.
No, I can break this one down for you real quick. The NFL, it's the biggest thing in the United States. There's nothing bigger, okay?
Right.
I don't care if you didn't watch one football game all season. Everybody watches the Super Bowl.
Right.
They've been spending billions of dollars to try to break into Europe and all these other countries. It doesn't work. They just stopped. Because nobody cares about football in other countries. They didn't grow up playing it. They don't understand the rules. They'll never be invested in the teams. People in London don't care about the New York Giants or any of these teams. I take two guys, I put them in an octagon, and they can use any martial art they want. It transcends all cultural barriers, all language barriers, because I don't care what color you are or what country you come from. We're all human beings, and fighting's in our DNA. We get it, and we like it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dana White, the next president of the United States through the UFC. He's too big for the UFC. That's what I have to say.
He'll make more money at the UFC than as president of the United States.
Dana, you're the best, man. We love having you in. Thank you
for
coming by the Kevin DeMeade Show.
Support.
Thank you.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I am being besieged by Munn's people.
Munn's people?
The G4 crowd.
Yes.
Who have sent me all sorts of messages informing me I'm incorrect. Partially about the Robert Rodriguez Predator film.
Oh.
It is a sequel. It's not a remake.
Okay.
It's called Predators. It will be what Aliens was for Alien.
Okay.
And that Adrian Brody will take on several Predators in this film. So it's not a remake.
Okay.
Get it right.
They will correct you.
They have and will. And,
a lot.
And a guy screamed it outside while I was smoking a cigarette. I'm not
really?
Kidding you. Outside the fence.
The guy drove by?
He was standing out there probably waiting for an autograph from Dana White. And I'm out there burning a coal, and he's, "You're wrong about Predators. That's what it is." I was like, well, F you.
And then the people on my Twitter are like, "Olivia, is she pretending to be a nerd? How could she not have seen Predator?"
Yeah, like, well, that's an older
can't
movie.
Can't make anyone happy.
Was it 1980s?
Can't make anyone happy.
No.
But people wandering by, though, that's awesome.
First time I was ever heckled
that's
from the street.
Awesome.
That is good.
For a screwed up showbiz story. That's so good. There you go. There's your correction, nerds. Speaking of nerds, the nerd alert is going all haywire. Heroes has announced that they will be introducing a lesbian storyline.
Yes.
This season. I don't know if you caught it Monday or not, but they showed a little teaser at the end of the episode for an upcoming episode, probably next week's, where now that Hayden Panettiere's character Claire is in college, she will be apparently experimenting with her new roommate Gretchen.
Okay.
Are they doing that to jump the shark?
I mean, if they insist.
Yeah, that's my fear with Heroes, because I've been off of it the last year and a half. It got so bad, but, I mean, this may bring me back.
See, that's what they're doing. That's they're you know, first Gossip Girl's teasing you the three-way.
Right.
And now Heroes is saying you're going to be a little lesbian lip lock.
All right.
And, you know, I mean, kissing.
Right, sure.
When I say lip lock.
Of course.
Yeah, just want to make sure that's clear. I don't want to get filthy out there for all the kids. Yeah, so tune in, won't you? Actually, I've been watching this season, and it's good.
Have you?
Yeah.
I'm off. I can't keep
up. It's really complex.
Yeah, it's too complex.
And they've added even more new characters this season.
I need simpler, not more complex.
That's true.
I am not a complex human being.
You need simple.
I really need.
Like a fat kid needs cake. Now that Oasis has officially split up, Snoop Dogg says he wants to sign Noel Gallagher to his Priority Records as a solo artist. Okay. Snoop apparently is trying to branch out beyond hip-hop and sign some rock and pop acts, and he says Noel, he thinks, has got a lot of potential as a solo artist.
Really?
Meanwhile, Jay-Z has announced he wants to work with Liam.
I love Liam Gallagher.
Do you?
I do. I think he's very talented, and I like him.
I do, too. He's odd, though. When he sits on the stage and smokes and just looks at people and just glares at them, that's a really...
Yeah. He doesn't seem to be enjoying his job.
No, I think he's a nice person.
A little surly.
I think that
he's surly.
Interesting.
Yeah. Jay-Z says it could be as great as his collaboration with Linkin Park, which of course resulted in the Collision Course album.
Yeah.
So, look, the guy's talented. Both of them are.
That
could be
true.
Interesting. But now that Oasis is done, we can get some interesting side projects. And more ratings news. As expected, the Monday Night Football game between Brett Favre and his Minnesota Vikings versus the Green Bay Packers, his old team, is officially the most watched program in basic cable history.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow.
Really?
A record 21.8 million viewers tuned in to watch that game.
It's a pretty good game, too. They probably kept him for a lot of that.
Yeah, it did. It was a good game. But we've got a new winner, so apparently more people watch that than any other basic cables. Well, Attack of the Show, of course, is still number one.
Attack of the Show is the number one show in the entire world.
Right.
Best show ever.
And then, you know, Monday
Night
Football. So you got that going for you.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Thanks.
And more music news. Echo and the Bunnymen have announced they are giving away their first new single in a while. Fans are saying, nope, still too expensive.
All right.
The song is called Think I Need It Too, and it's available right now as a free download at bunnymen.com.
Yeah.
Fans' new album, The Fountain, will be available in November. You can check that out. So. New free Echo and the Bunnymen music.
Yeah.
Look, there's some Bunnymen out there. I just want to give them props.
Sure.
And lastly, Jennifer Love Hewitt is obsessed with Twilight.
Fat.
In an Us Weekly magazine. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Not fat.
No, she's back in shape.
Jennifer, I'd like to see her sans airbrush.
She's back in shape. The Ghost Whisperer.
She is very thin now again.
Yeah.
Ghost Whisperer tells Us Weekly magazine, isn't that a great way to go? Like a hot guy sucking on your neck? I love that.
That is not a hot way to go. And by the way, when did... I so don't think Robert Pattinson is attractive at all. In the very least, at all.
No.
At all.
Listen,
I would smash
a glass
in his face.
We don't get the mania over him either.
I really don't get it. And I don't get the whole, I'm a celebrity, but don't look at me. Or I'm going to do a big movie, but like, don't look at me. Go do community theater.
Such a cross to bear.
You know
such
what?
A cross to bear.
When I hate that when actors or celebrities, they come out, they're like, you know what? I don't want to, just don't look at me. I just don't want to do this. I don't want to be, like, you know, go do community theater and, you know, Ottawa.
Leave us alone.
Yeah, this is so stupid. Shut up. I'll hit you in the face.
Jennifer Love Hewitt is obsessed with Twilight. Isn't she like 40?
Yeah, yeah. That is weird.
Isn't that a great way to go? Like a hot guy sucking in your next. What? Stop it! What are you, 12?
She's a Valley girl, too?
Don't talk to your ghosts. Leave us alone on CBS where no one sees you.
Just kidding. CBS is a wonderful company, and they do great work. Everything they do is excellent.
Yeah.
And I speak highly of them only.
Right.
I kid because I love.
Right, of course.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Taylor Hicks of American Idol is 33 years old today. Tom York of Radiohead celebrates his 41st birthday. Tony Braxton,
yeah,
is 42 years old. Doesn't she have like a heart condition or something?
I don't know. Yeah, took her off stage in Vegas, remember?
Yeah, she had to quit her long-standing Vegas show because she had a heart condition, and then she promptly went on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah.
She also had a reality show before when she went to Broadway, and she talked about her heart condition. It's a big thing for her.
Wow. Yeah. Well, don't be dancing on Dancing with the Stars. You got a heart condition.
Yeah, or, you know, don't talk about your heart condition.
That's right. American Idol judge Simon Cowell is 50 years old today. And John Mellencamp, who's had a long, successful career singing for farmers. He is 58 years old.
Singing for farmers?
That's what he does. He sings for farmers. He gets a lot of farmers in a field, and he sings to them with Willie Nelson. It's tragic. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have Star Wars in concert that we're going to give away some tickets.
Yes!
And we're going to do it next at 1-800-520-1067 with El Rey.
Star Wars fans, though. We want Star Wars fans.
De las Películas.
Better be a Star Wars fan.
Of course.
Or else you're not going to win.
Of course.
Star Wars fans.
So call now and we'll do the contest. I have a lot of confidence in this. It's the world famous K-Rock at 9:15.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Olivia Munn from Attack of the Show on G4 is here with us, and we've got a room full of people because we're going to try to debut a new game, a new version of an old favorite here today, as we give away tickets for Star Wars in concert. It's at the Nokia Theater tonight and tomorrow night, and we have a special guest who's going to join us in a second who's going to tell us all about the event as we play, ladies and gentlemen, El Rey de las Películas, Star Wars Edition.
He will read a scene from Star Wars. If you get it right, you'll go see Star Wars in concert.
Oh, no. Good morning, Yoda.
Yes, he certainly does suck.
Omar, worst jingle maker ever.
Yes. So, Yoda, what is Star Wars in concert that we're giving away tickets for tonight and tomorrow night?
Star Wars in concert, more money for Lucas to make it is, yes.
Yes, that's true.
It is songs from Star Wars music played by orchestra. C-3PO narrates. Yes, he does.
All right.
So Anthony Daniels, the actor from C-3PO, is the one who tells the Star Wars story while the music is being played. I think I understand.
Crystallize my thoughts you have.
All right. I'm not sure I totally grasp how this game is being played. Could you give us an idea?
No. King of Mexico will read line from Star Wars movie. You need to identify character and movie that it comes from, it does.
Oh, okay.
So your answer needs to be the movie title and the character, and you're going to
said the line.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Dave is going to read it as the actor that he is. So who do we start with?
First, we have Chris. Works in advertising, he does.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Do you understand the contest?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't either.
Hey, Olivia.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You guys didn't give me a chance to warm up, though, man. Hold on.
Bumblebee.
Just give the line.
All right. Who am I? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's going good. Mos Eisley Spaceport. You will never find more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Villainy. Chris, who's the character? What's the movie?
Obi-Wan Kenobi from A New Hope.
Because that's me, baby!
All right, you are!
Awesome. Spaceport. You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
How did you get that from what Dave did?
It's like Sir Alan Guinness was alive again.
Yes, Sir Alan Guinness.
Sir Alan Guinness.
That's Alec, by the way.
Sounds just like him, you do, yes.
Chris, congratulations. You have won tickets. You can go tonight or tomorrow night to the Nokia. Yoda, who's next?
Next, we have April. Student she is. Hi, learning the ways of the Force.
Hi, April.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, April.
We apologize for this game in advance, but here's Dave with El Rey de las Películas Star Wars Edition.
Size matter not. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you?
Wait, who are you being?
That's the question she's supposed to come up
that's
with.
That's Yoda.
That is Yoda.
Yes,
sort of.
Strikes Back.
From Strikes Back?
Yeah, two for two.
How about
size matters not?
I love that.
Look at me.
judge me by my size, do you? Hmm?
I don't think you should claim victory, Dave. Yes. I mean, I think this this is Star Wars.
Even I did not recognize that line.
2 for 2. That's all I'm saying. 2 for 2.
I'm saying these that are hard. The Star Wars fans know what they're talking about. That's all. All right, Yoda, where do I go?
Next is Matt, designer of graphics ears.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys.
All right. Matt.
Here's Dave, the King of Mexico. Good luck.
Strike me down with all your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Which movie?
Character? That is the Emperor from Return of the Jedi.
That is correct.
Yes! Boom! Awesome.
Strike me down with all of your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Wow.
That was your best one so far, Dave.
Didn't even have to study. Got it.
There's something very sexy about this game. Just
Dave did it as if the Emperor was from Arkansas, though. I didn't know where that accent was coming from. All right, 3 for 3. Yoda,
well, if you
who's
check
next?
The wiki, he is actually.
Yeah. Oh.
Next up, Lewis works in aerospace company building jet fighters. Mm.
Hi, Lewis.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Lewis.
Here's the King of Mexico. Hey. Good luck.
Right. Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder. Okay, that one I sucked.
That's it?
That's it. That's
a very famous line. Which character, which movie?
Let me see.
He kind of stumbled on it. Can you say it one more time to make sure?
Yeah, can you say it one more time?
Yeah,
repeat, please, because you suck, you do.
Yeah, that one sucked. Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
All right, we need an answer, though. We don't want you looking it up online.
Yeah, you're right. I have no idea.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, like that's Princess Leia.
You stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Empire Strikes Back it was.
That one was my bad. Sorry, Lewis.
Yeah, you let him know.
Yeah.
Where do we go, Yoda?
Next up, Todd. Teacher she is.
Mm. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
Not well, if we can be honest. There's the King of Mexico. Good luck.
I think my eyes are getting better. Instead of a big dark blur, I see a big light blur.
That would be Han Solo in Return of the Jedi.
Man.
Oh, you people
well,
are
these are amazing.
Scaring me.
My eyes are getting better. Instead of a big dark blur, I see a big light blur.
Spot well on!
Here's the problem, is that these people know all of the answers, so Dave is thinking that he's responsible.
Deluded he is.
Yes,
when you hear the playback, you'll see.
But sure. Dave is the man of a thousand voices. All right, I think we only have time for one more, Yoda. What do you like?
Next up, Jeff runs restaurant.
Mm. All right. Jeff, hi.
Good morning.
Is it true you have a Star Wars tattoo?
I do.
All right.
That's awesome.
Tattoo of?
It's actually the Republic symbol on my shoulder.
I thought it would be Tatooine.
Come on!
Yes!
Because that's glass Princess. In your face.
You would take it just for that.
Leia's home planet. Come
wow.
on. That was awesome.
Stop,
come on.
Stop encouraging.
Livia,
right. No. That's the point.
I will not even give you that.
Encourage him not.
I am putting control in this situation. This
good.
Is ridiculous.
All right, Jeff, here's your line.
Thank you, Olivia.
Good luck.
You're welcome.
I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
Luke Skywalker, Episode 4, A New Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would have to say that we got a lot of Star Wars geeks listening to the show today. Congratulations to all the winner. Thank you, Yoda, and thank you, Dave, the man of a thousand voices.
What was that?
Chewbacca! Come on!
It's more in the back of the throat.
I thought my cell phone was ringing, it was.
And how about that Kings of Leon? You can win tickets to go see in Mexico if you want. That'll be this afternoon between 5 and 6 right here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's as simple as just picking up the phone and dialing in. There's no contest. There's no playoff. There's no drawing. You just win it. And that happens between 5 and 6 this afternoon here on the world-famous K-Rock.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt you. Is it just
it's 9:31.
Aren't you guys the most successful radio show in the world? My headphones broken like 8 times. Can you not spring for some good headphones on this show?
Olivia was fighting with a pair of headphones.
She's struggling.
Like, for
yeah.
10 minutes.
For the last couple of minutes.
Oh my gosh, you know what?
The problem
Cut
is,
back on the smart water and get some more headphones.
The problem is that my head is gigantic. And so it puts a lot of pressure on headphones. And so then we have to rotate them out. And that happens. So sorry.
All right. Ralph will be here with the Showbiz Beat in just a couple of minutes. First, though, Kevin, you can't appreciate what a wonderful time of year it is. I know you're all about the football and the hockey now, but I'm telling you, we're into the baseball playoffs. Just yesterday, we found out who the last team is in the playoffs, and that's going to be the Minnesota Twins versus the Yankees. We got the Phillies versus the Rockies. We got the Red Sox versus the Angels. And starting tonight at 6:37 West Coast time, it's the St. Louis Cardinals versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. Couldn't be more excited to welcome our old friend Manny Ramirez back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Manny, of course, one of the most popular Dodgers in history, and he joins us on the phone now.
Hey,
Manny, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you staying pretty loose? This is very exciting, being back in the playoffs again this year. You feel good?
I'm always loose, you know, relax and play baseball, you know. Sit back.
You seem too relaxed sometimes. I mean, this is the playoffs now, right?
Now?
Yeah, tonight.
Yes, tonight, starting tonight.
The playoff?
Yes, tonight is the first playoff.
Shut
Postseason.
Up.
Come on, Manny, you know that.
He's drunk.
No. Tonight?
Hi, is what he is.
Tonight. Are you drunk?
What?
Are you drunk right now?
No. No.
I'm Manny...
I'm eating brisket.
Brisket?
Brisket.
What time is it for you?
It's good. Yummy.
Manny, it looked very much like the Dodgers were going to collapse at the end of the season. A very rough final couple of weeks. And a lot of it was because you had no problem going up there and you know, whiffing. You were 0 for 4 a bunch of days, and it didn't seem to ever bother you. Like, the pressure never got to you that maybe you were going to, like, hose the team and they wouldn't make the playoffs.
You know that show Monk?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Good. I like it.
Right.
It's funny.
Does that have something?
He's got the OCD and he's crazy.
Oh, it is really funny.
Yeah. I like that. How are you, pretty lady?
Oh, I'm good. I really like Mad Men. That's a good show. I'm a big fan of The Wire.
I like you, lady.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about baseball with you, though, maybe because.
I love baseball. All my best to LA.
Right, but it doesn't sound like it because, again, what I was saying is you didn't seem to really care that much in the final week of the season whether you even made it to the postseason. Has your attitude changed now that you're playing game one of the series tonight?
So you're saying the playoffs start tonight?
Yes.
Oh, Manny.
That's rough, man. Who do we play?
St. Louis Cardinals.
All right.
That's exciting, huh?
Sounds good to me.
It's big, big dreams. Like, when you were a little boy, did you ever think that you'd be here playing? That's huge. No? Probably
no.
Not.
No, I wanted to be an astronaut.
Did you really?
Or a fireman.
But
I love fire.
Really?
Sometimes I'll be in left field, and I'll stare in the sky, and I say, what if there was a fire? I would have to put it out with a big hose.
Oh. Yeah, Manny. You probably wouldn't be able to do that.
Wow.
Hey, pretty lady. Pretty lady, I got a big hose.
Okay, Manny.
Well,
I square you.
Oh, that's so funny because I actually heard otherwise, which is weird.
Oh, whatever.
All the girls in LA were saying something different.
No, it's true. I have to drink Manny's special tonic to get my wiener to work.
You were?
Oh, and to play baseball, I'm
you
sure.
You did get kicked out of half of the season, pretty much.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right now.
So, what time tonight?
6:30.
What time do I have to be there?
Well, we don't know.
Well, then why you call me?
We're not on the team. We're just calling to ask you about the series.
Why you call me to ask about the baseball?
Because you're in it.
I thought you were going to tell me what time to go to the ballpark.
Wait, have you guys? Is this really him?
We don't.
Is this really him? And have you guys spoken to him before?
Yeah, we're friends, man. That's why I thought they were calling to talk about TV or pizza or perhaps.
You have the lamest friends if all you guys talk about is TV and pizza.
Yeah.
Oh.
You guys need to talk about something. Like, when's the last time you had sex with a girl?
Me?
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
You don't have a girlfriend?
No.
Are you homosexual? Are you straight?
No, I'm very shy around the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But I like them very much.
Yeah. Let's probably so concentrate on that fire out in the field that no one else can see.
Or like a fly to the moon.
I know.
Manny is more weed in PlayStation than he is girls in baseball. That's the impression we get from
him. Why would you assume that I smoke weed?
Well,
you're kind of mellow.
Yeah. Is it because I'm a Dominican with 3-foot dreads?
Yes, it's exactly why I think you smoke weed.
That certainly helps.
I mean, that is just the requirement, I would think.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
listen, make a phone call, Manny, to a young man named Joe Torre. I'm sure you've got his number in your BlackBerry. And maybe, I don't know, ask some questions so you can get better prepared for tonight.
Is he a fireman?
No.
Then why do I want to call him?
Because he likes fire and Monk.
Okay.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with a final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. What you talking about, Ralph?
Sad news.
Uh-oh.
Film star legend Elizabeth Taylor
close friend with Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Is undergoing heart surgery.
Hmm.
She tweeted it yesterday.
What?
Cool. Elizabeth, 77 years old, rocking the tweet.
Totally scooped the whole media. No one had any idea she had any kind of health problems or procedure planned, but she scooped the world with it. That's pretty amazing.
Here's Bean with more.
I'm just saying, how often does that happen, that a celebrity is the one who releases the information rather than somebody finding out about it?
Or is it that no one gives a crap about Elizabeth Taylor anymore?
Could be that, too.
She said in her tweet, any prayers you happen to have lying around, I would dearly appreciate.
Is that how it works? You have them just lying around?
Listen, Liz, love you. Loved Cleopatra. Need all my prayers.
Yeah.
Everything I got, using it for myself.
Don't have any to spare?
If I had any spare prayers, they'd be yours, babe. But really, seriously, I got enough crap going on in my life. I need all the prayers I can get. Why don't you pray for me, Elizabeth Taylor? You've had quite the life, by the way.
Yeah, there you go.
Got your Oscar and your millions of dollars. Why don't you give me a couple prayers? You know what I'm doing? Sit in a room with these jamokes. Talking about showbiz news. Talk about your heart surgery.
You're doing
look
great
at my
voices.
Life.
I mean, you got the gift of voice.
That's true.
I got reamed for the voice. I got reamed for the voices. Yeah, a lot of your Yoda sounds like Grover. Screw you.
Yeah, but those are Star Wars fans.
Kiss my ass. Olivia Munn knows Yoda. She said it was good.
I thought it was him.
That's right. She's worn the bikini. The Princess Leia bikini, for God's sakes.
That is true. Hey, Olivia, do you follow Elizabeth Taylor on Twitter?
No.
No, of course not.
No, well, but she's everybody, Bean. She loves
Bean?
It.
Let me guess, Bean, you follow Elizabeth Taylor
don't.
On Twitter.
I do, but
why?
I mean...
Oh, my every
I do.
God.
Why? There we go. Because she's freaking Elizabeth Taylor. How can you not?
You didn't follow her before today when you saw this story.
No. That's how I found out about
he
it yesterday.
He follows her. We need to get you out of your house in Seattle and back down here because something is happening up there.
He is in the bubble.
Come back.
It's just, I mean, talk about a woman with a fascinating life. It's just interesting the stuff that she has going on.
It was a fascinating life.
She's not
is she
dead
Twitter?
Yet.
If she, you could go back in time and Twitter, like when it was really cool, when
in
she was like, when she was like banging her best friend's husband and stuff like that. Yeah. That's a Twitter I want to. But now she's like, I pooped. I like diamonds.
It can't be better than that.
She's from the South.
She had a fascinating
life. All my old lady voices sound like they're from the South.
She had a fascinating life until 1977. Then it stopped being interesting. Yeah.
Maybe she can Twitter stuff from like 1977. She's like, you know, in 1977.
Yes.
Like when she was at General Hospital, maybe those tweets would be interesting, but not now.
Nope.
Right?
I'm going to go with never.
Who do you follow, Kevin?
About five people.
Yeah.
Pretty much just Dave and Rob Dyrdek. That's about it for Kevin.
And Kevin Smith. I added Kevin Smith. That's about it.
You follow me, dude, don't you?
Oh, I follow Psycho Mike. Yeah.
I'm telling you what, if you follow Kevin Smith, there's no room to follow anyone else.
That's true.
He tweets 2,000 times a day.
Do not come down on Smitty.
All right.
You know, we love him.
We do.
And he's interesting.
He is.
I'd rather listen to his long tweets than Elizabeth Taylor's short tweet about her heart.
Okay.
She's a rough 77, by the way.
She's only 77?
She's not 77. She's older. Yeah. No.
She's been 77 since I was born.
This story says 77-year-old Liz Taylor.
No way.
She's got like a wheelchair, and they push her into these gay bars on West
Hollywood. For $10 million, would you have sex with Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would have sex with her for free.
On. Okay, not you, Bean. You're following her on Twitter. Okay, wait, Kevin. For $1 million.
Yeah, probably the oddity factor of it is fine. I'm fine with that. Yeah,
The oddity for the cash factor, I'd do it.
Cash
for a
factor
mil.
Too, sure. Yeah.
Okay, well then, just like $10 for the oddity factor and $10.
$10
and a Jamba with a free boost.
As long as you throw in a Jamba,
that's a free boost.
Don't even.
Can I get a shot of wheatgrass too on the side?
No.
No.
What about
can't.
A pretzel?
It's a rough bargain.
Okay, a pretzel
you know
with that?
It's closed. Right. It was a Jamba, a boost, and $10.
All right. Yes.
Oh, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
For $1 million, I'd do Richard Burton's corpse.
Oh, gosh.
Man. I'm just saying. I need cash.
That's saying. Amazing.
Wow, that hurts.
Pete Wentz is in the news.
Ooh!
Apparently, he's had his head shaved.
Oh, God.
That's it?
Well, it's not so much having it shaved, it's who shaved it.
Who shaved it?
Mark Hoppus of Blink-182. Shaved his head while on stage in New York City last Sunday.
Don't we have Mark coming in on Friday?
We do indeed. We'll have to ask him about that. Apparently, Pete Wentz said he would do anything if he could tour with Blink. And so Mark said, all right, if we bring you on tour, you have to let me shave your head.
That's awesome.
And so he did it in front of a bunch of fans on Sunday night.
I shaved my co-host head on G4 and we weren't supposed to, and I didn't tell anybody. And then we did it live and got in some trouble.
They didn't like it?
No, now he looks like a baby Beckham. He looks so much better with it like that. But they were kind of mad at us. And then Elijah Wood said that I could shave his head, too, when he comes on the show. So I'm very excited about that. We should just bring people in here and we should shave their heads.
Shave their heads.
Shave Elijah's feet, too, while you're at it. That's great. He's got some hairy feet. I'm just saying, I saw a documentary once. And
I know the one you're talking about.
He was carrying a ring and he had hairy feet. That's all I remember.
I saw that.
It was a movie.
Hey, speaking of Mark Hoppus, he's going to be playing bass with the band for Rocktober on Friday, right? Olivia, do you play any instruments?
No.
We're going to
record her.
We're going to be trying him out.
Get a chair recorder.
All right. Can you bring in your recorder on Friday?
I can beatbox, but I've done that for you guys
already. I would say vocals.
That's true. We need a Are there vocals for Rocktober? We need a hot main singer.
I can rock it.
All right. We'll work on it.
All right. We'll work on that off the air. But yeah, we got the band coming back on Friday, apparently, for Rocktober. So I want to make sure you can participate.
All right. Enough.
I've got the best story to tell you guys off the air.
Okay, good.
Which I'm going to tell you on the air to make people jealous.
All right. Okay, good. Good.
Well done. Now the listeners are on the edge of their seat saying, ooh, I wish I worked with those guys. Today's celebrity birthdays, co-host of The View, Joy Behar, is 67 years old today. You following her tweets, Bean? You following Joy Behar's tweets?
I don't. She's not Dame Elizabeth. Come on.
John Mellencamp turns 58. American Idol judge Simon Cowell celebrates his 50th birthday. He's a rich dude, that Simon Cowell.
He's got some cash.
What's he worth?
So much money. A
couple billion dollars, isn't he? Something like that?
I bet. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if he was worth $1 billion.
He's getting 42 mil per season for American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
And that's just one of his shows that he
produces,
you know,
three or four others.
For that, with that much money, you'd think that he'd be able to afford a stylist and be like, stop wearing tight shirts.
Listen, guys like that do have that kind of money think they look good like that. I mean, that's what he really looks in the mirror and goes,
he's not
yes.
a bad-looking guy.
I also think that so much has been made of his tight shirts and his man boobs
that
he now
stop.
Does it despite him, people.
Right.
Well, yeah.
So what? F you.
But I think it's totally what you said. Like, when people have so much money, there's so many people around them saying yes, yes, yes all the time that they don't even realize that they look horrible.
Right. That's what we're here for.
And he's got a haircut.
Let people know they look horrible.
He's got a haircut that no one has had since they were 6 years old either.
Yeah.
The parted in the middle.
Look, when you find something that works.
That's right as well.
Where was I? Tony Braxton is 42 years old today. Tom York of Radiohead celebrates his 41st birthday. And Taylor Hicks. What?
Taylor Hicks.
Speaking of American Idol. I'd be cool if Taylor Hicks had hooks.
I would
definitely voted for him that season. That would have been great. He is 33 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I watch the Showbiz Beat. It's very entertaining.
We need all that.
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. I believe we're going to talk Olivia Munn into coming back again tomorrow.
I'm here, and I will be
I'm
here.
I'm surprised at after 5 today.
I'm going to be here at 5 a.m., and I'll be waiting. I promise I won't be late.
She's going to sleep in her car in the parking lot.
We also have from Couples Retreat, Malin Ackerman.
Oh. I'm good friends with Malin and her sister, so I'm very excited.
Oh, fantastic.
Who knew? Very sweet.
Is it Malin or Malin?
I think it's Malin, actually.
I think it's Malin.
Yeah, people call her Malin. I still call her Malin. Because it's easier.
You're such good friends?
Well, no, because it's easier. Even her sister, her sister's Jennifer. And she's like, everyone calls her Malin, just Malin. So we all go Malin.
But don't have a hunked up name if you want it pronounced properly.
I like, when I say Malin, I'm like, Malin.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've heard it that way,
hot
too
chick
much.
From Watchmen, basically.
Right.
That's why I know her.
And Couples Retreat.
And we're also going to talk to the person who came up with the California Pole Dancing Championship. So that's also tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'd like to shake that man's hand.
With gloves. Hey, Olivia, what's going on Attack of the Show tonight? Are you back on the TV?
I'm back today. I have no idea what's going on.
Good.
But
okay.
I'm sure it's something amazing. I'll try to wear a push-up bra.
Thank you.
You sure really come prepared to everything you do. I got to give you a lot of credit for that.
I know.
That's it.
It's 7
o'clock
going on
the G4. But stick around. Cat Corbett's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music next, including Alice in Chains and their latest Check My Brain. Also got some Sublime on deck for you, some Incubus, Weezer, Linkin Park, Cake and more right after this on K-Rock.